Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. My name is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's 8 a.m. California time. And today is the 4th of November. Getting close to Christmas. Let's get right to it. Well, before I get right to it, let's get to the phone number if you'd like to come to the show. And there was, God, we had 26 people yesterday, and I did get to everyone, well, mostly everyone. And some people just want to listen. That's all they want to do. So I didn't really open up the phones. Some people want to talk. So if you'd like to come in the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. I promise you come in the studio early, you'll get to talk. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We're all over the world. I noticed that our Germany viewership is up, and our Italian viewership is up. Thank you, guys. Kyrie Irving. Ye, or Kanye West, Donald Trump. Why are they bashing the Jews? Are they racist? What's going on? You know, I guess it's the go-to, the classical hits, you know, go after the Jews and go after the blacks. Why? But this time we have prominent black people as well as white people going after the Jews. What did the Jews do? I can't figure it out. They asked 8 black Jews, yes, there are black Jews in this world, to weigh in on West's mess. And then why did Trump have to blast the U.S. Jew? Well, Trump says the Jews don't appreciate him, especially what he did with Israel. He let that be known in Truth Social. By the way, he thinks he's going to be running in November. Mark your calendar down. I think it's November 12th or the 14th. Donald Trump plans on making his announcement to run for office in 24. I need coffee. And so we're going to also look at some of the propositions that are coming down your state And that's the show. It's going to be a relaxed show, and if we have time, I mentioned a person named Dr. Wendy Walsh and her dating experiences. Love Dr. I think her advice is towards women, not so much men. We're going to listen to it, and you tell me. A lot of men don't like her. I did get some feedback, just got a little bit, maybe two or three. We had a show, guess Wednesday. I don't think I was on yesterday. You know, and that's why I keyed on the Kyrie Irving and Kanye West and even Donald Trump. One of the people that I liked for a long time called me a racist. I am not a racist. But they heard the show. And on a show, there were people expressing their beliefs and concerns to the homosexual society. How's that, homosexual society? Not gays. And it wasn't favorable for the homosexuals. One person asked me to apologize, and I will not. You see, this is an open forum here. You may not like the talk that we're talking at the time, but you're allowed to talk. I'm a big voice for expression without judgment. Ooh, that should be another T-shirt. Expression without judgment. I should put that on a T-shirt. Somebody will. I won't get credit for it. Expression without judgment. And if you're saying that we have a First Amendment where we can speak our mind, but then again, when we do, and then you criminalize us or justify, you know, and you condemn us to hell, because we do, and then you punish us, society will punish us for speaking our mind, and it has consequences. It says you can speak your mind, but it didn't say in the fine print the consequences of it. See, they forgot to put that down. You got to look at the fine print. Yeah, you can speak your mind, but you got to look at the consequences of it. And if you're willing to take the consequences, then you got a free pass to speak your mind. But if you're not willing to take the consequences, then shut the fuck up. And that means that if you are a Kyrie Irving and you're getting paid multi-million dollars, $40 million and up to play basketball, which is a kid game, in New York, no, you cannot speak your mind. Shut the fuck up. But if you want to, it'll cost you $40 million. Sure. Ask Kanye West. Ask Ye West. Look what he lost for speaking his mind. He can speak his mind. Sure, nobody's telling you he can't. But you got to read that fine print about the consequences of. And ask him what he lose, Adidas and a lot of sponsorship for saying something stupid, which he probably doesn't believe anyway because he's just pissed. Sure, you can speak your First Amendment. You have the right to, free speech. You got to be prepared for the consequences. A lot of people just say shit, and then they're surprised of the consequences. They go, "What? Isn't this a free country? Can I say shit? Why are they taking my?" You know, no. Sure, you can say it. Sure. You can yell fire in a theater, a crowded theater. Sure, you can do it. Do it. But the consequences are your black ass is going to jail. And chances are you'll be a little dessert treat for somebody who's been in jail for a long time. You'll be like the Christmas cake. Because the consequences of it, the consequences of hurting people on purpose. I mean, if you're a free thinker, another thing, put on a T-shirt. Wow, I'm getting a lot of T-shirts here. If you're a free thinker and you like to say, you know, blah, 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 blah. But if you're knowing that some people are upset and everything and you're hurting people on purpose, then you're an asshole. But, you know, chances are, can't we just talk without... I mean, if I saw a woman with huge ass boobs and nice little nipples, and it's cold outside, no bras, Christmas, 40 degrees, what a lovely Christmas present. Can I speak my mind saying, you know what, those tits are exactly what I need for a sleigh ride. To me, it's a compliment. To her, I get kicked in the snowballs. Sure, I can say it. But you have to be ready for the consequences. Yes, we had a lot of people, we had a couple of people talking about homosexuals on our show Wednesday. One person asked me to apologize. I will not apologize for people's behavior or thoughts or free speech. I will not. I will not apologize for anybody. I'm proud when anybody comes into the studio. What we talk about is going to be offensive, yes. I don't know what's going to offend you. It just might offend you. I just might offend you with the big lady with the big tits on a snow day at 42 degrees with the hot, nice nipples. I could offend probably half a big, small-titty girls right now across the way going, what a bastard. Big-titty women are going, yay, Brian. I can hear it right now. If you listen closely, Brian. And those are the big titty women. So no, I will not. And I know you're listening. You have the right to keep listening. I have the right to keep having guests come in. You know, you cannot censor guests and can't censor what people are saying. It's not right. But you do have the right to change the channel. You do have the right to not to listen to me. You do have the right to do. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to get rid of me as a friend. You have the right to block me on Facebook. You have the right to come at me on Twitter. I think it's unreasonable for a person I don't know, because a person I do know would not ask me to do that, that I justify your hurt and because I'm not what you believe I am. Then I'm not, because I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to please any of you. I am who I am. I am what I am. I don't think I'm the first one to say that. I'm not a wimpy. I'm a strong-ass black man. I am what I am. And I will not apologize for me. But you're also, if you're insulted, you also have the right to come on a show and fuck them up. Don't be a sissy. Don't be a pussy. You can fuck them up. You can come on the show and say, the bastards are motherfuckers. You got a voice. I welcome it. 319-527-6099. That's the number. That's the number. You can come in and say, you know what? You got a mouth. Use it. I'm sure somebody said that to you in your lifetime. I know they said it to me. So don't be a pussy and a whiner. You want to come in the studio and go against those guys and call them what idiots they are? You're more than welcome to use this forum. It's what it's for. Da, 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 da. So we're going to get to our main story. It's Friday, everybody. Kyrie Irving, Ye West, Donald Trump, are they racist? Why are they bashing the Jews? Why are you bashing the Jews? What did the Jews do to you? I looked at it. Somebody asked 8 black Jews, yes, there are black Jews, to weigh in on West's mess, Trump blasts, U.S. Jews, and Truth Social. We also look at voting day and some propositions that you're in your state that you need to watch out for. And if we have time, we'll get to Dr. Wendy Walsh regarding dating and how men are fucked up and women, watch out for them. And if we do have time, we go with the man advice with Tom Likas, who thinks women are predators, men have to watch out for. These are the things he teaches. Come see, come saw. Come see, come saw. There was a song like that. Da 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 da. God, I can't remember it. Da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. God, I can't remember that song. Da 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 da. What was that song? Come see, come saw. Nope. Nope. If Melissa was here, she would know the song. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. All right, forget it. I thought there was a song. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. So that's it. Let's have some fun for a couple of hours. It's going to be the weekend. We start voting Tuesday. What's ever on your mind, come into the studio. You can say it. I don't give a fuck. Yes, you can cuss too. Yes, you can. Yes, you can cuss. Yes, you can cuss. You can say whatever you can to express yourself. And if you remember that song, da 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 da. Can't remember that song. All right, everybody. We're going on a little right before. Hello, oh. Melissa. Hello.
Hello, good morning. Hey,
good morning.
Ta-da.
Oh, that's
whatever
what it is.
Will be, will be. Yes.
I knew you would know.
C'est
that.
La vie.
C'est la vie. It's a French. Ta-da. Mm-hmm. Whatever
the
will be.
The future's not ours to see.
Thank you, Melissa.
What movie was
isn't
that
it,
from?
It was okay. Oh, for bonus points.
Day.
For oh, you already said it. It had
yeah.
to be a love movie. It had to be a love movie. It's one of those movies, you know, that you could.
You know, she's still alive.
No, she's not. Didn't she just die?
Yes, I don't think she did. I don't think.
I think she died
like
2 years. She just
million.
Died. No, let me check it. Let me check. I think my computer's
right,
acting up. I think she just died.
Wait a minute. I just plugged my phone into charge. Hold on.
Yeah, I think she just. We were going to call her. We were going to call her.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when you used to make these calls?
Oh, yeah. Like she would have answered
yeah.
the phone at 110. You're right. She passed away.
She
passed
yeah,
away in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was old.
What was she? She still looked hot. I was still with a banger. A couple more
she
wines.
Was born in 1922.
I would have banged that 22, too. Look at that.
No.
Give me a lot
yeah.
of wine. Melissa, I had to apologize because we offended some people. I didn't apologize, though. I don't know if you're
I
listening.
I didn't say
we offend-
anything about that topic.
Exactly.
Remember we talked about it after?
Yes, we did. And
mm-hmm.
I still stick by the freedom of speech on our show. You have the right to come in and kick their asses, jump into their arena if you like.
Yep.
Hmm?
I agree.
Yeah. So quit your whining and quit being a pussy. If something offends you, get right in here and act like a man or a woman, whoever you are,
yeah.
your surname or your pronoun name is, he or she or
yeah.
maybe. Pronoun name.
It's a very sensitive thing.
Ah, fuck sensitive.
No.
You know what's sensitive? My butthole.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Oh, God, no.
It's very perky. It's very perky, and it's very
Ugh.
Sensitive. Ah,
no,
it's a beautiful thing.
No, actually triggering today. None of that.
Oh, trigger. Doesn't take much to trigger this baby.
None of that. None of that.
We'll be right back with Miss Melissa. I think I'm gonna make her my co-host again. She was great.
Okay.
Thank you, Melissa. Our topic is Kyrie Irving, Ye West, Donald Trump. Are they racist? Why are they bashing the Jews? And then we're gonna talk about 8 black Jews who are making a comment. We'll try to get to Donald Trump is announcing his presidency in 2024.
And they're putting down Sammy Davis Jr., God rest his soul.
Are they really?
Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish, but then I think he went back to Christian. Yeah.
Oh, did he really? After the Jews
yeah.
poked out his eye? Why?
Maybe. Made a gefilte fish stew out of it. Yeah, okay.
Gefilte fish. Oi, give filter. Oi, if I was only
sugar,
a rich
sugar,
man.
Sugar.
Yeah,
yeah. Sugar,
getting my sugar
yeah.
on me. The guilt, that's the money.
Well,
not
while
the guilt.
You go in and you do what you're going to do,
yeah.
I'm going to go get some more coffee myself, though. So.
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. And
my chuckles while I'm at it.
We sure will. We'll be right back.
Okay, you're my little brother, so I have to show you how to celebrate Hanukkah. This is called a dreidel. You spin it and see where it lands, and you sing this song. I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, with dreidel I shall play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 with dreidel I shall play.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, hey, Cartman, we're playing dreidel. You want to try?
Sure. Here's a little dreidel that's not in made of clay, but I'm not gonna play with it, cause dreidel's freaking gay.
Hey, shut your mouth, fatta!
Juice, play stupid games. Juice, that's why they're lame.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel,
juice,
I made you out of clay.
Play stupid games.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel,
juice,
with dreidel I shall play.
That's why they're lame. What's going on? Oh, it's that Hanukkah thing. It's so amazing. You spin this thing on the ground and it goes round and round. I could watch it all day.
Let me try.
I'll try to make it spin. It fell. I'll try again.
Oh, dreidel, dreidel,
I'll
dreidel,
dreidel,
I made you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 with dreidel I shall play.
Hello, boys.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, how precious. You boys are all playing dreidel. Now you know that dreidel is a time-honored tradition for the Hebrew people.
Yes, we know, Miss Bobnacki. It's so very interesting.
Now, when you learn to make the dreidel spin, you'll know our people always win to spinning parts. To make the dreidel spin,
the stupid
do. Our
juice.
People always win.
That's why they're late. Oh, hi, Dad.
Hello, everybody. Say, can I join in?
I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, with dreidel I shall everybody dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
Oh, sorry.
We'll talk about this later, Gerald.
Now,
let's get to our main story. You're listening to me. I am Fritz Kibitzki. My friends can call me Fritz. You come on into the show. I am Fritz Kibitzki, and the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. All right, you know, some people think black people cannot be prejudiced. Because it's white people, you know, because black people have a saying, especially to white people, they get away with shit. Oh, if they were black, oh, it'd be a different story. I'm saying that if white people were saying the same thing as Kyrie Irving or Ye West or even Donald Trump, well, Donald Trump is a white guy, they would be up in arms. And they're asking the NBA, well, maybe you don't know what he's saying. Okay, here we go. Let me go with this. So if you don't know who Kyrie Irving is, he plays basketball for the Brooklyn Nets. That's what he plays for. A lot of NBA players love this guy. But they're not speaking out. People are getting pissed at NBA players. They're going, well, where's LeBron? Where's this? How come they're not speaking out? All fun is deadly quiet. But do they have to? Do they have to speak out? There's only one, a couple of people spoke out. One is my favorite guy, Charles Barkley. In fact, here's what Charles Barkley had to say. Uh-oh. Here it is. Here's what Charles Barkley had to say. Now, apparently, Kyrie Irving on Twitter had a link about a movie. And basically, this movie has a lot of conspiracy theories on it, and also this movie is saying that the Holocaust didn't happen and so on and so forth, so people were up in arms. So if you're not familiar with Shaq, he's a basketball player for the Lakers. Charles Barkley, same thing. Not for the Lakers, but for Arizona. You get the idea. You know who these people are. And they're commenting on Kyrie Irving posting that link to a movie, a three-hour movie, basically a lot of conspiracy theories against Jews, and that the Holocaust did not happen. So here's her comment on it. Here's her comment on it. My computer is acting up, so I don't know if we can get it. But
look, if he keeps making a big thing out of the word promotion, that is promotion. If on your social media you say, boom, here's a link to this, that tells me, hey, you should watch this. Correct? He's got 17 million Instagram followers, another 5 million or so on Twitter. You're all over social media. Do you ever put something out there, Shaq, that does not represent something that you feel?
I was probably one of the first guys on Twitter. And when I realized the power it had, I knew I had to be very responsible. Followers, platform, whatever you call it, I knew I had to be responsible. I try to make people happy. I try to make people smile. My formula has always been the same, 60% to make you laugh, 30% to inspire you, and 10% whatever I'm selling. You have to be aware of what you're doing. And you have to be aware that sometimes when you put stuff out, not everybody's going to like it. Some people are conscious, some people are not. I can tell he's not conscious. He doesn't really care what's going on. But us, I know that you know, the game that we used to love and we promote, it brings people together. And it hurts me sometimes when we have to sit up here to talk about stuff that divides the game. Now we got to answer for what this idiot has done. I stand for equality of all people. I've always been like that. Don't matter what religion, don't matter where you're from. I could say shalom, salam aleikum, ni hao, say bon, because that's how I was raised. So I don't really want to sit up here and answer questions for what he's done. You know, if you're looking at me, it's my job to make people happy. I can't speak for him and, you know, answer for you know, what he's doing. It's obviously by his answers and the way he answers, he doesn't really care.
Chuck, I think the NBA dropped the ball. In what way? I think he should have been suspended. I think Adam should have suspended him. First of all, Adam's Jewish. You can't take my $40 million and insult my religion. If you're going to insult me, you have the right. But I have the right to say, no, you're not going to take my $40 million and insult my religion. I think the NBA, they made a mistake. We have suspended people and fined people who have made homophobic slurs. And that was the right thing to do. I think if you insult the black community, you should be suspended or fined heavily, depending. I saw they did the same thing to the kid in Minnesota this year when he made the gay slur. I think you should get suspended or fined. I think him acknowledging the Alex Jones thing, something should have happened with that too, because that dude's crazy. And I can't believe that we ain't talking about that. We're talking about this idiot. And when you say, if I say, hey, I'm agreeing with this movie, this book, or whatever, I'm agreeing with it. First of all, you know I don't do any social media. But when you're somebody as great as basketball like him, people going to listen to you what you say. And there's some fringe people out there. But like I say, I blame the NBA. He should have been suspended.
And their conversations are continuing with the Brooklyn Nets,
it's too
with
late
the NBA,
now.
But they're also looking at, look, they're looking
no.
at how do we move forward at this so we don't go through
now.
This again. No, it's not too late
Ernie,
to say how do we prevent
Ernie,
this. It's not too late to say that.
Hold on, I want
to
say this. The reason it's too late, the NBA is giving in to peer pressure. If one of our players do something, they have the right, the team or the league has to do something immediately. If you just give in to peer pressure,
That's the problem I have. This should have been handled already. Kenny, let's get into this. Go ahead.
Well, firstly, if we're going to take what he says on a Twitter, we have to take everything he says. So if I'm going to take everything he says, I'm going to believe that he doesn't support or any of the views or promote the views of it. He said it right in my face. I have to accept that. So I will believe that. There are people in this world who've done, in their art, have done great things that have said crazy things that we still listen to their music, we buy their paintings, we do their things, and you might take an excerpt of that and say, I believe in this. Okay, so I'll take that as it may from Kyrie Irving. But I also believe that the reporter did have a right to ask the question.
For sure.
That's it. So, and that's really where the argument began. You don't have a right to ask me that question. I do believe that. And based on this for Kyrie is that he has put himself as, he says, I'm the voice for some of the speechless during the COVID. So now he has transcended from basketball and became an activist politically. So you will ask him that question based on some things that you may read. But I have to believe him also when he tells me, that is, if I'm going to believe parts of it, I have to believe the totality.
You know what? And I just think Kyrie's just part of this. I mean, I just think we've lost our way. I think in this country we've lost our way. I think people have forgotten what it's like to put the thought process into, if I put this out there, who am I going to hurt? And they haven't, they're giving no thought to that. Now, where's civility these days? Where's empathy? It's a worrisome road, and it's a dangerous road that we find ourselves on now. And look, Chuck and I, on our podcast today, we had Rabbi Erez Sherman from Sinai Temple in Los Angeles to talk about this situation, and it bears hearing. Listen up.
If you were face-to-face with Kyrie Irving, what would you say?
I would say, come into my synagogue, meet my children, learn about us as a community. Teach our children what it means to be a human being in this great country of America. And then I think good things can happen.
We as black people, we know racism. We want people to have empathy. And they're not going to have empathy for us if we're insulting other religious groups. If minorities don't work together and just pick on each other, call each other names, make these stupid stereotypes, we're never going to heal.
What has to be done is conversation. It's meeting the other. That has to start now. It has to start young. And the reason that I love this show is because it has to start in the sports world. Sports and faith intersect in a very deep way. And that has brought so many people together. And I know it has the power to continue to do that as well.
And we will leave the conversation right there. Our thanks to the rabbi for joining us earlier today. Way too much of this these days, not enough of this. We'll be back.
See, that's the situation. That's the situation. I don't know. I mean, you're in a free society. Do you have the right to hate me? Because maybe I wear Nikes, or maybe my ass is just one amazing ass. It is one of the most amazing asses you ever see. And you can be jealous of my ass. You see me walking, and you go, look at his ass. Look how amazing that ass is. It is just so amazing. I need to touch it. And you're jealous of my ass. Can you hate me because of my ass? Can you hate me because I have a different view on homosexuality, as far as if you want to know my personal view about homosexuality, I think you should live and let live. We had a person on here saying that you have gay friends. Yes, I have many gay friends. Yes, I do. And I love them. Well, not the way you do. I mean, not the way you're thinking. You know what I mean? I have to clear some shit up.
You just put your foot in your mouth.
I sure did.
Mm.
But is the right thing that says be careful, or is the right thing that says y'all just relax? Is the right thing that says
you know, free speech, we're just so uptight and we're looking for a fight. We're just looking. Are there people just looking for a fight?
Absolutely.
Are there people? Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. that they're angry and they want to be heard and they're just looking for a fight.
Yeah.
Trump.
Sure.
I just think, and people say,
how
well,
dare
maybe
you talk about that wonderful man? How dare you? How dare you? You're going to
so
get his
ashamed.
People in here angry.
What a handsome man that man is, that Donald Trump.
Lock
look at
him
that.
Up.
Look at
lock
that ass.
Him up.
Lock
oh, yeah.
him. Lock him up.
I don't really care anymore, I'm telling you.
He's like
we
I
have
said,
our
he's going
to
make
stuff to take care of, right? In our own state.
We really do. We do.
Get out and vote in your own states.
We're going to go over that in a little bit. And by the way, if you want to come in, it's 319-527-6099. The party doesn't get going for about another 20 minutes. I think that's when they start filing in. When they realize I'm on the air. 319-527-6099. I am Fritz Switzelbaum.
Fritz?
My name is Fritz Switzelbaum. Come on. Come on and talk to Fritz.
Dr. Fritz. Yeah.
He called me Dr.
Fritz.
I guess my answer is people, you know, the answer is not more security or watch your mouth or be careful, people listening. That's too much pressure on a person. Whatever happened to lucid, the conversations are lucid. You just talk to someone.
That's fluid. Fluid.
Or fluid. I say lucid. Fluid. That's why I'm a little scared.
Fluidity. Fluid.
Hey, I'm barely lucid when I talk to people.
Have a lucid conversation too. Yeah.
Yeah, give me some LSD.
Yeah.
But fluid. What happened just being fluid? What happened? Remember the old days where you can just sit down in a coffee shop and just have a conversation, but you cannot talk about politics. Mm-hmm. You cannot talk about racial thing. You cannot talk about woke. You cannot talk about black power. You cannot talk about Black Lives Matter. You cannot talk about white mass violence. You cannot. What the hell? You cannot talk about this. What? And you cannot talk about gay rights. You cannot talk about homophobia. You cannot talk about transgender. You can. What the hell is off? What do you talk about?
People are so triggered.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
The answer
Triggered.
To it is, I know, and that's what a tea, not a...
You have to be, you feel like, you know, especially if you're in public,
right.
What you talk about, and I was wondering if people were going to be down at the polls, you know, acting out, and I was wondering that.
Right.
Yeah.
We got troubled. What was that song? Come on, Melissa. It's Friday. We got trouble right here in Blog Talk City. That's right. We got trouble. It starts with a T and ends with R, and that spells racist.
Yeah.
We got trouble here in Blog Talk City.
Yeah. Did somebody really get upset about that? Did they message
they did.
You? Or?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. I have some friends who listen. They are gay.
Yeah.
Not Tori. It wasn't Tori. It was somebody else.
Yeah.
And they heard me laughing at this anti-gay conversation.
Well, it was to me, I think I remember what was going on, and it was somebody that came in as kind of – he's been in a few times, right? And he brought up homosexuality that in a strange way that parents of single mothers, that, you know, couldn't raise sons and – fathers couldn't raise girls and become
that
gay.
Was, yeah, I got it for that too. Yeah, I got it
I
for that
I could hear that
too.
And I'm thinking,
wow.
You know what, like I said to you, I had my thoughts, but sometimes I don't want to waste my breath on stupidity.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And that's why I shut my mouth the other day.
I know.
Because I don't care what they think. I know how I feel.
Right.
Homosexuality has been around forever. And heterosexual parents have been having homosexual children since the dawn of time. In traditional roles. This is what we talked about yesterday, remember? And I understand that. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Well, your feelings do
where
matter
they
because
come from.
People like you. And
I know, but
they,
when they
were
all,
to,
like I said, I don't want to, I didn't want to waste my breath on stupid.
Right? I agree with you.
If they're going to feel that way, what I feel, especially when somebody's older, they're not going to change their mind. That's what they believe.
Yes.
And what a narrow view of the world.
Right. And I have to, well, now that I'm, here's my one thing this gentleman got really mad at us when I was, somebody pressured, do you have any gay friends? And I think he was mad that I didn't say
that.
Who he was, because he is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
The gay friend. I don't see him as a gay friend. I see him as a friend.
If they weren't here, why would you say who they were?
Right. Exactly. Right. And, you know.
Everybody's in everybody else's business and worried about who's – being gay isn't a crime.
No. It's not.
It's like you said earlier, and I'm a live and let live person.
Right.
Yeah.
I try to let people speak their views without any kind of judgment whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Without judgment. That's what this show is about. Let us be idiots.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I should name the show. Let us be idiots.
That would be good. At least for a day.
Yeah, let us be. Maybe Friday is. It's Friday. Let us be idiots. But like I said, it's like if you just loosen up.
Yep.
So what?
Yep.
And I think the world could be a better place. We don't. The answer is not to tighten up or be more careful. I mean, how much more careful can we be?
Exactly.
I mean, if you stare at our kids because they're biracial too long, we're thinking you're thinking something in your head. If you're not smiling or you make a smirk and you turn your head around, it's like, come on, we want to bat your face in. I mean, how much more careful do we cannot be that much? We're going to break. You wind up a rubber band so much that eventually it will break.
Yeah.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is, I mean, how many insults before you become a racist?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I really don't care if you're racist or not. I don't. That's your thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you a... You know how many times I was in a white neighborhood that friends are going, oh, you know, I don't really like the N-words, but you know what? Brian's cool. He's the cool one. You ever hear those things that... I mean, you know how many times I went to school hearing that? Well, he's the cool one. You know, as far as white people are concerned. It's like, what? You just insulted my race.
Well,
now, do I have to...
out. Listen, from the Huffington Post, Donald Trump said Thursday he will very, very, very probably run for president again in 2024. I want you to remember those words.
Yeah,
very,
I have this.
Very, very probably.
Probably. Very, very probably.
Three berries.
You know what he's doing? I have that story right here. What he's doing is he's a coward, motherfucker. He's waiting until he's looking at the midterms to see what happens, to see if they like him. And if they like him, if his people went through, then he's going to tiptoe out. And he's just judging it to see how the climate is. He's a little fucking coward. His ego can't take it.
Yeah.
Hmm?
I have a chance, Daddy.
Yeah. Oh, do they like me? They really like me.
Yeah.
I think I'll run.
Do you
know,
like me?
Do you like me?
Look, I'm here again, Daddy.
I am very rich. Do you like me?
Oh, my gosh.
That's
hey,
what
you know
waiting
what?
For.
De La Veen, whatever will be, will be.
Oh. Wasn't there
what
De La
are
Veen?
We to do?
We,
right?
You know,
what are we going to do?
Well, you know what we're going to do? It's like, I don't understand people. Go ahead and bring me your champion. I mean, if I was in the Roman days and I'm saying, I'm Julius Caesar, bring me your champion. And the guy goes, well, we got Max here. He goes, Max, is Max your champion? Well, he lost twice. He's a two-time loser. We impeached him. We threw fruit at him. You know, the guy's a two-time loser. He represents us. Go in there, Max. Bring in
your
loser.
You better watch out. You're going to bring Voldemort in.
Baltimore? Is that the guy on
Harry Potter?
On, Harry Potter? Baltimore.
He can't say the name. He remains. What was it they always said? He remains unnamed or something like that. Kind of like Beetlejuice. They say it three times and they show up. Yeah.
It's Friday. They might. I mean.
Oh, come on.
Because I'm not that late. I'm in the area of. I'm gonna search to see if Brian's around. I'm not gonna waste much time because I want to get you to. I want you to hear Dr. Wendy Walsh because you're interested at one time.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I was.
So when we come back, we're gonna rush through these stories. Kyrie Irving, Kay West, Donald Trump, racist. Why are they blaming the Jews? And we're gonna hear from 8 black Jews on the mess that West is making. And should they be responsible? I mean, why can't Kyrie Irving believe what he believes? Okay, he's really upset. He said that he doesn't believe in the Holocaust, that it didn't happen, and he put a link to a movie that dispels the Holocaust and a lot of Jews and everything, and they're pissed. Now, what's the difference of Kyrie Irving doing that than some guy named Jack Schmo doing that, and you're getting mad at Jack Schmo? And the argument is that Kyrie Irving reaches out to X amount of people. So what? You think they're going to all of a sudden, because a basketball player says something, that those fans – and you got to remember who's each fan. See, you know, what I get upset about is that you guys think fans are idiots. You guys think the people who fight – follow Kyrie or uneducated fools, and that what Kyrie puts out, that they're going to now, you know, turn against Jews. Well, you have to understand who watches basketball. You got executive and corporate levels and bankers and gamblers and accountants. These are no fools. A lot of them are Jewish who follow him, by the way. You don't think one
they
Jewish guy is following Kyrie Irving?
Jews.
Right.
They better be careful.
And so I don't know. My girl Cindy says this, somebody did something. It was an actor. I forgot who it was. Well, I'll ask you this question. The great director who's on trial right now for sexual abuse, you know, the honorable,
that guy.
What a beautiful hunk of man meat that is, Weinstein.
Oh, beautiful.
What a hunky, sexiest man on,
like
on the...
Pepper and threw it all over his face.
What can you imagine? One actress says she had to watch him take a shower and his body, that body of his, and the see-through shower thing and water. Oh my God! All over his body and moving slowly. Now, so the charges that he's up against of sexual assault. My girlfriend says she'll never watch another movie of Weinstein. Was ever made it if he ever got free. Same thing with what's his name? You know who I'm talking about, the singer. You know who I'm talking about. With those three women living with him. Bump and Grind.
Oh my God.
Bump and Grind Boy.
God, I blanked his name.
Well, him too. I mean, I still love his music. What about Michael Jackson? Michael Jackson is the only one I think survived it. Now, Michael Jackson was accused of the most horrendous act of all.
Yeah.
Came on TV to talk about his penis. And I think he was the only one. You have to be such a super, super, superstar
yeah.
to come out of that Okay.
And he was. Yeah.
I mean, when you're choosing.
But look at what
it
did to him emotionally. I mean, the guy was just, come on, he had to have fentanyl to go to sleep, you know, or
yeah.
whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Did he really? Oh, my God, you're making me think about who that. I'm so mad. Can't think of his name.
Bump and Grind.
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
I believe
okay.
I can fly.
I can fly.
Wait a minute. What,
oh,
what is somebody?
Okay.
You know who'd know this is Ellen. Ellen would get this right away. God,
right.
They did specials on him, and
they did a job on it was
Kelly,
R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. Yes, R. Kelly.
We got it. We got it.
But I still listen to R. Kelly's music. It didn't, you know what I mean? I like R. Kelly's music. It didn't.
You know, I got rid of my Twitter because of Elon Musk.
You know, I'm about to think about that. I don't want to get into the this drama that he's going to do on Twitter. You know, I don't
yep.
mind him. If he was a silent owner, cool. But if he becomes part of Twitter, I know it doesn't sound great, but if he becomes part of it and gets into the mess, and knowing that he owns Twitter, knowing that he
yeah.
owns it, it's going to fuck me up. You
have
to be
like
careful.
It.
I know what you're saying. 111, welcome to the Melissa and Brian show. It's Friday. Well, you're live, 111.
Yeah, it's Friday, and I need something. I need to shake you up, man. Where were you at yesterday?
Oh, I was on.
No, you weren't.
When? No, you weren't.
Was that,
no.
Well, oh, I was not
Are
on.
You
no. Oh, I was on
now?
Wednesday. I was on Wednesday, right? I was on
you
Wednesday.
You were supposed to be on
yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah.
He
I had a meeting. I had a meeting that.
Come on.
I had
a
meeting.
I think he's getting infected with Democrat-itis. He'll literally tell us something that we know not to be true and start gas like we're Ingrid Bergman or something. I ain't Ingrid Bergman, man. And you ain't John
Boy.
Oh, Boyer.
My God. I want to be alone. Where's my light? Director, give me a close-up. I'm ready for
man,
my close-up, DeVille.
Man, I'm telling you, man, what's up with this? All right, look,
no,
never mind. I understand you're erratic, and I'm about to just put up with your bad qualities to get your good qualities. That's okay. I'm just going to anticipate that I can't count on you when you say you're going to be where you're going to be.
I just have to search to find you.
That's all. I accept
my
it.
My attentions are good. I was in a meeting that stretched a little bit longer than I thought it did. And by the time I was out of my meeting, I was like at 11 o'clock California time, and I figured I missed y'all. You gave up on me. You're not going to be here. So I said I'll just do the show early.
You weren't there. What do you expect us to do?
I know.
Yes, we gave up on you. You weren't there. We had no way of conjuring you up out of the mist.
Conjuring me up. Ooh, like I'm an evil spirit. Say hello to Melissa,
yeah,
Sarge.
Halloween, that post-Halloween stuff, who knows? Anyway, I see
yes.
what your topic is. Are you now trying to accuse Donald Trump of getting ready to set up his own Einsatzgruppen and start hunting down Jews? Are you doing that?
No. No, I'm not. In fact, we got a good story. Melissa brought it up, too. Trump announced when he's going to run for 24, and we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But I do want to hit the headline here and talk about the midterms coming up. But Sarge, I'm glad you're here. I mean, you know the mess what's going on with Ye West talking about the Jews, and now you got Kyrie Irving talking about the Jews. And you got Donald Trump mentioning and say, hey, the Jews don't appreciate me for what I did in Israel and everything. Now, do you feel that they have their – well, before we go into that, here it is right here. Here it is right here. And you know, you tell me. The Nets suspended Kyrie Irving after he failed to say he has no anti-Semitic beliefs. And even if he did, shut up, he's a basketball player. The Nets said that during a media appearance earlier in the day, Irving failed to declare that he has no anti-Semitic beliefs or acknowledge the content of the film. It was a film that he told people on Twitter to hit. It was a link, and it was a link to a film that had a lot of anti-Semitic thing about Jews. That's what's going on here. And That's it. I wanted. I'm trying to get. I don't know if people are talking about it in today's thing, but here we go. Here we go. We were dismayed today when given the opportunity in a media session that Kyrie refused to unequivocally say he has no anti-Semitic beliefs nor acknowledgement about hateful material in the film. Blah, blah, blah. Irving has been roundly criticized since last week when he tweeted to a link about a 2018 movie, Hebrews to Negroes. Wake up, Black America. Wait a minute, I have a soundbite of that. That sounded weird. Wake up, Black America. Ooh. I quit doing it, too, because people are getting upset. Okay, whatever. I have one that says, wake up, white people. You guys ever hear that one? Okay.
No, I haven't.
It's really ominous. So that was it. I mean, there was a link, and it says, wake up, Jews to Negroes. And I don't know. I don't know what to say.
All right. Well, here's what you say. First of all, you know, whenever these contretemps break out, and I hear somebody, this person's anti-Semitic, this person's anti-Black, this person's anti-white, you know what I always do. I always say, the way people are so easily triggered these days, that's subject to mean anything. And it don't necessarily make it so just because somebody says it is. So I always got to look at the context of what it said and how it is said as to when I make my determination as to whether something is specifically racist or anti-ethnic group or whatever. Because I'm really leery these days ever since Donald Trump came on the scene and even before. These accusations of you're anti-this and anti-LBQT because you don't want your children to be sexually mutilated without your consent, you know? So I'm very suspicious anytime I hear such accusations.
Well, you're right.
I prefer to examine it for myself, see what was said, and keep in mind at all times we have a First Amendment here in the United States of America. You've got the right to say anything that's on your mind. Doesn't mean everybody has to listen to you. Doesn't mean everybody has to give you a platform, but you've got the right to say it, period.
But it does have
now,
consequences.
Now, having said that, I think it is the height of idiocy to dismiss an entire group of people painting with a broad brush because you never know who in that group can be beneficial to you. You just don't know. This has been my life experience. I will never do that again. I used to do it all the time back when I was progressive, lunatic, or liberal, racist. I would do that all the time. I would categorize white people this way. I categorize Hispanic people this way, Jews. I'd do it in a heartbeat because that's what leftists and progressives do. They categorize people on the basis of groups. Mm. And I think that's always wrong whenever you do it, whether you got the right to do it or not.
Mm.
But, again, I got to look into this controversy and see what was said and done before I make up my mind about it. I haven't given it enough study. Now, if you can give me something specific about it, and I'm going to assume you're being reliable on it, I can tell you whether I think it's right or wrong.
Okay. Well, this is according
to... Nobody's going to lead me around by the nose. I don't let either my side or the other side lead me around by the nose when they start hurling these inept, loose accusations that are utterly unfounded, either in truth or fact, just because they're opposed to the person.
I agree. Oh, here's that sound bite. Listen.
Wake up, white people.
Oh, that's scary. That's scary. Okay. So, anyway, quit playing that. So, Irving has been criticized since last week. This is according to, in fact, this is according to NBC News. I'm getting this from NBC News, so you know where I'm getting it from.
Yeah, well, I'm already suspect. I'm already suspicious.
Okay. Okay? Well, Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America, which is based on Ronald Dalton's book of the same name. The NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. You can't get any more Jewish than Adam Silver. That's Jewish to the 10th degree. He said Thursday movie includes deeply offensive anti-Semitic material. Silver also said Irving's statement since the controversy erupted has fallen short. I am disappointed that he has not offered an unqualified apology and more specifically denounced the vile and harmful content contained in the film he chose to publicize, Silver said in a statement. Okay, let's just look. Now, this is a conversation Melissa and I were having earlier before you came in here. And, you know, when people are saying you got to be careful, this and this, you got to be more careful, how much more careful do we have to be? I mean, we're going to break. We can't say this. We can't say this about this. We can't speak about this because we're going to insult this. We can't be in a coffee shop, and if we talk about the current news, chances are somebody's going to get offended. If we talk about homosexuals, we're going to get offended. If we talk about Black Lives Matter, we're going to get offended. If we talk about white people going, this, going to be, what, you know, I'm tired of this. I don't think the answer is it's shutting up. I think the answer is that you guys got to just stop it. Relax a little bit. Quit being such a pussy. Quit being such a, you know, a victim every time, and quit looking for a fight, because I think majority of these people are just looking for a fight. So this basketball player sent a link, and by the way, I have many Jewish friends. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm just saying the answer is not being more careful. The answer is just relax. So what?
Have the you heard the latest update to this story, Brian?
That's it.
And that is that he's got to pay $500,000 to the ADL.
And $500,000 to the organization, and then he's suspended 5 days, I think. Irving's and announced Wednesday that they were donating, but you know what they said? $500,000 each to organizations and causes that fight hate, and that they would work with the Anti-Defamation League. But the Anti-Defamation League said, "Keep your money. We don't need your money." They turned his money down. We don't need your money. That's it.
Well, look. I'm going to look at this from two axes here. Number one, most of corporate America, admittedly, is somewhat cowardly when it comes to defending principle. Let's face it. And I'm not entirely antithetical to them doing that because they have a business decision to make. And I guess when you're attempting to appeal to a broad spectrum of the market because you want as many consumers as possible to partake of your product, it induces a certain amount of cowardice. You're not necessarily ready to stand up for principle when controversy strikes. So I understand them making a business decision about Kyrie Irving that is disassociated and divorced from standing up for principle, meaning the right for someone to speak their mind. So I understand that on one track, even though frequently it dismays me, but I understand it. Now, having said that, and like we said, I think we both agree that there is a great deal of cowardice today in corporate America, except when it comes to politically approved woke crap. They're all in for that shit. You know, but other than that, on most other matters of principle, they are frequently absent, so I don't count on corporations to do anything right when it comes to strictly standing up for ethics and principle. And again, that's not necessarily the job. The job is to make money for the business and the stockholders, so I understand it. But when it comes to Kyrie Irving and what he says, I still need to see exactly what it is he said it and in what context before I can make an objective determination as to the rightness or wrongness of what he said. I mean, you understand? I'm not trying to have it both ways here. I see two major issues at stake, and I think they're both important. But if you want to ask me which one predominates and has the most importance, I think the issue of freedom of speech and being able to speak your mind is more important than the corporate bottom line. And I'm probably not going to agree with what Kyrie Irving said. I'm probably not going to agree with it at all. I might even conclude it's a little bit hateful. But I think free speech is under such attack today. It is important to reinforce it at every opportunity. Because free speech is what made this country. Free speech literally is what made this country the greatest in the history of mankind. That's one of the things that did anyway.
I agree with you. And you know, I also understand pride, but to refuse $500,000 to each organization, I think is wrong because it can help other people. You know, they said this, the Anti-Defamation League, Jonathan Greenblatt said the organization will not accept Irvin's donation. He tweeted that the suspension was well-deserved.
You know, I think they could fire that guy, get rid of him. $500,000. You know, people go, that's what we have civil court. You know, when you have a black man being shot, I will use this, or a brown man being shot because he was a security guard, they got awarded $8 million, you know. And then that's like the family saying, you keep your money, mister. You keep your money.
But you're
still living in a squalor.
You know what? Their refusal to take the money, I think to some extent kind of signals to me that this may be an exercise in arbitrary power by the ADL. I'm not going to say that for absolute certain. But the response of it is it maybe it's an exercise in showing, look, if you get out of line, this is what we can have done to you.
Hmm.
You know?
Could be.
I don't know if it is or not. Maybe they were sincere in expressing their outrage, and maybe the fact that it turned down the money shows it was a matter of principle for them too. See, I don't know. I don't claim to know things which I don't have enough evidence to know for absolutely sure. I'm saying either is a possibility.
I have, you know, the world's turning to hell when hell freezes over, and I'm going outside because I got a jacket. When a Jew turns down money, we got a problem.
Hey, what about what's that? Hey. Hey, what are you gonna whip about the protocols of the Elders of Zion, there, boss? Jew turns down money. Oh Lord, no! You sound like you've been channeling Kyrie Irving. Is that what you're doing?
I know. Hey,
a Jew turns down money. Tell me about that, Brian. What is it about the Jews and that love for money?
Love for money. Give me the guilt.
Uh-huh.
We have a problem. There's something going on. Hell just falls over.
I understand, mein Führer. Das ist richtig. Jawohl.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got to get out of this trouble. We'll be right back after I have some coffee, eating some crow for breakfast. And again,
you need to, man. You need to repent, man. You just now know. Now, haven't heard that. You just committed some sins. Now, damn it. Now, I'm gonna call you on that one. I'm gonna call you on that one.
But the thing about it is, we gotta learn to relax. We gotta learn to just laugh at shit. We gotta learn to not be so uptight. You know, and even the Jewish people are going, damn, he gave him $500,000. We'll be right back, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump running for president in 2024 and what's going on around your neighborhood. You're listening to, like I said, Fritz Rabinowitz, and my number is 319-527-6099.
319-527-6099.
So give... Give Fritz a call. Give Fritz a call.
You call me gold in my ear.
Yeah, you're golden. How about gold in my ear? You're actually right. How much is gold in my ear going for?
Oh, boy. We're not going to miss
an opportunity
silver. Here, are we?
Bada boom. We'll be right.
Welcome to the Shekels Show.
That's
here we
right.
go.
There you go. I'm dancing for Shekels. We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, you know Trekkie Monster upstairs?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's Trekkie Monster and you're Kate Monster.
Right.
You're both monsters.
Yeah.
Are you two related?
What? Princeton, I'm surprised at you. I find that racist.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just asking.
Well, it's a touchy subject. No, not all monsters are related. What are you trying to say, huh? That we all look the same to you?
No! Oh, not at all. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess that was a little racist.
I should say so. You should be much more careful when you're talking about the sensitive subject of race.
Well, look who's talking.
What do you mean?
What about that special monster school you told me about?
What about it?
Well, could someone like me go there?
No, we don't want people like you.
You see? You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
I guess we're both a little bit racist.
Admitting it is not an easy thing to do.
But I guess it's true.
Between me and you, I think everyone's a little bit racist. Sometimes. Doesn't mean we go around committing hate crimes. Look around and you will find no one's really colorblind.
Big judgments like who to hire or who to buy a newspaper from.
No.
No, just little judgments like thinking that Mexican busboys will learn to speak goddamn English.
Right.
Everyone's a little bit racist today. So everyone's a little bit racist. Okay. Ethnic jokes might be uncouth, but you laugh because they're based on truth. Don't take them as personal attacks. All right, stop me from heard this one.
Okay.
All right, there's a plane going down.
Uh-huh.
There's only one parachute.
Uh-huh.
And there's a rabbi, a priest.
And a black guy.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Kate? You were telling a black joke.
Well, sure, Gary, but lots of people tell black jokes.
I don't.
Well, of course you don't. You're black. But I bet you tell Polack jokes, right?
Well, sure I do. Those stupid Polacks.
Now, don't you think that's a little racist?
Well, damn. I guess you're right.
You're a little bit racist.
Well, you're a little bit too.
We're all a little bit racist.
I think that I would have to agree with you.
We're glad you do.
It's sad but true.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Bigotry has never been exclusively white.
If we all could just admit that we are racist a little bit, even though we all know that it's wrong, maybe it would help us get along.
Oh, Christ, do I feel good.
Now there was a fine, upstanding black man.
Who?
Jesus Christ.
But Gary, Jesus was white.
No, Jesus was black.
No, Jesus was white.
No, I'm pretty sure Jesus was black.
Guys, guys, Jesus was Jewish. Hey guys, what are you laughing about?
Racism!
Cool!
Hey! Come back here! You take all these recycle birds!
What's that mean?
Recyclable.
Hey! Don't laugh at her! How many languages do you speak?
Oh, come off it, Brian!
Everyone's a little bit racist.
I'm not!
Oh no!
Nope!
Ma.
How many Oriental wives have you got?
What? Lion!
Brian, buddy, where you been? The term is Asian American.
I know you are no intending to be, but calling me Oriental offensive to me.
I'm sorry, honey. I love you.
And I love you.
But you're racist, too.
Yeah, I know.
I was just reminded, you know, people want to ask what's going on with my life. I don't usually tell them, but I am proud to say I'm going to the theater. I'm going to the theater tonight, opening night. I'm going to see a play called 2.22. It's a ghost story. You can look it up. It's by, I thought, what's her name was in it? Woo. Huh. Maybe she got out of it. Julia Chan replaced her, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, 2.22 is a ghost story. It's a thriller by Danny Robbins. It's premiering at the Amundsen Theater tonight. I'm going to be there on opening night. My woman wants me to dress very nicely, you know, so I will not be in tails. I might have a little tuxedo or two, you know what I'm trying to say? A little bow tie. But here's the review of it, and we'll get to our story. It's 2.22, a ghost story review. So I'm reading the review of the play we're going to tonight, sweetheart, 2.22. The plot of Danny Robbins' 2.22, a ghost story, revolves around Sam, an astronomer and a know-it-all, who believes he has the answer to everything. Specifically, we're talking about the existence of ghosts. Sam does not believe in them, and it's not really a spoiler to say Sam is proven very wrong. Whatever. Well, I can relate to Sam here, as I went into 2.22 firmly believing I had his number, and I'm happy to say I did not. Still, I had my reasons. Number one, horror plays that aren't called The Women in Black tend to be terrible. So what did he give it? What did he give it? With all this bullshit, what did he give it? Wait a minute. That's in London. I was reviewing in London. I'm going to do the review in Los Angeles. Sorry. Let me see. Nobody talked about that, baby. Nobody said anything about that. It's at the Amundsen Theater. My girlfriend was afraid that some people from... Nobody from the Brian Show is going to be at her. They're going to go to the theater. No, they don't go to theaters, baby. Nobody on my show goes to theaters. Why is it so quiet in there today? Okay. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, baby. So anyway. It's a ghost story. That's basically what it is. And we will be there at the Amundsen Theater tonight. Baby, are you sure we have it for tonight? It doesn't say it tonight. Is this opening night? Are you sure? Because this says November 6th. Anyway, I got opening night tickets. VIP. I'm going. There we go. So you uncultured bastards, I am going because I am a cultured bastard. There's a thing. And then I'm going to the opera. How's that? I'm going to the opera later. And we will dine. Tonight we dine. And nobody gives a fuck. Okay, fine. Fine. Nobody cares. I was hoping Melissa would ask a question, but she won't. I have never had this radio so silent. I don't even know if I'm still on the air. Okay, everybody.
I'm listening very closely.
What do you think,
Miss? I still want to understand what the merits of what, as you see it, of this particular performance are going to be. What do you anticipate seeing when you go to this this event?
Well, my lady, was nice enough to treat me to, she likes the theater. She loves opera and classical stuff. And then she surprised me. She says, we are going to the theater. And I said, oh, great. And this is what's playing at the theater. And I really liked it because I like horror films and I like the thrillers. So this should be great. That was it.
Does your girlfriend understand that taking you to a significant cultural event is somewhat akin to casting pearls before swine?
Yes, she does.
Okay, well, good for her. All right, well, then I appreciate her efforts to attempt to enlighten you. I applaud your going, and I hope you become enlightened as a result.
I will come enlightening. No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to. She just needs a date. I'm the plus one. Here it is. It's a Ghost Story is an award-winning supernatural thriller starring Constance Wu, W-U, and Anna Camp and Adam Rottenberg. And Finn Wittstock is written by the award-winning writer Danny Robbins, the creator of the BBC podcast, The Bitter Sea Poltergeist. Wu believes her new home is haunted, but her husband, Sam, isn't having any of it. They argue with their first dinner guest, old friend, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if I want to see this bullshit. Okay, here's a little thing. You know, if there's no nudity in it, I don't know if I want to. Well, here's the thing on the YouTube. Let's see. Here we go. I'm going to enlighten people.
It's 2:22 a.m., and it's happening again. A cracking supernatural thriller will haunt the Amundsen Theater, 2:22. A ghost story is slick, chilling, wonderfully crafted, and begs to be seen again. Starring Constance Wu, Anna Camp, Adam Rottenberg, and Finn Wittrock, the record-breaking edge-of-your-seat show comes to L.A. for 5 weeks only, October 29th through December 4th. Tickets available now at AmundsenTheater.org. It's 2:22.
There you go. That sounds great. So I'm going to be there for 2 hours with stuff with important people who are stuffy and who look down with, you know, from their noses at other people, and I would be one of them. So I have to get my neck work in order so I can lift my nose up really high and at other people. You peasant.
Yeah.
You peasants. So that's
well,
what I'm doing.
I think a good landmark or arbiter is to see how many snooty leftists are there, and that'll give you an idea of where it fits in the cultural barometer.
No kidding, right? Wow.
I know. I'm not kidding, man. I'm telling you, these guys. Look at Oprah Winfrey, man, turning her back on Dr. Oz, who she literally made a star and touted at every opportunity. And because she's so I know this is what I suspect to be true. I only suspect it. I don't know. But given her advocacy, I don't think what I'm about to say is unreasonable. It's so important for her to butcher babies that she's willing to put Fetterneck, who clearly is an imbecilic, moronic, retard, stroke victim, yeah, I said all that, over a man who clearly has more intellectual capacity, depth, and understanding than the guy she's putting up. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It's just amazing. These leftists have no principle whatsoever other than the will to power and control.
Yeah.
Butchering babies is that important to her. I really believe it. I really believe it. Because she, after all, she did it. Remember, she readily confessed the fact that she had one. And she even said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm very accurate as I represented, just think of how the trajectory of my life would have been altered had I had that baby. Had I not had that baby, had I had that baby, I wouldn't be rich and famous. So she literally put a price on her child. The price of a child, like when you deal with the devil, is to sacrifice your children. There's no other way to put it. I'm sorry. If people don't like the way I put it, I don't care. I really don't. She said it, not me. Mm-hmm. She said it. She said, my life would not have been as great and fabulous as it is if I hadn't butchered my baby.
Well, I don't know if she put it
that now,
that way.
Is literally putting a price on someone's life. She literally did it.
Well,
the price of a child was destroying a child. and she has made an accommodation with that. So
but you
there
can't
you go.
Deny this.
I mean, I ain't got to make nothing up here. Came right
out
of her mouth.
I know. But you cannot deny the contributions of Oprah to the black community throughout her career. And we all have flaws. But I made a statement on here about 6 years ago, almost got ran off the air when I said Oprah Winfrey's more popular than Martin Luther King. I almost got ran off the rails, and what I meant by that is Martin Luther King was not privy to your homes. You got redneck people in Kentucky with a black and white TV with rabbit ears will tune in on Oprah and bring Oprah into your home, you know. So that's what I meant.
Well,
but she has done
a time earlier in her career, back when she was in Chicago on WLS TV, WLS TV in Chicago, I would tune into her show and be mildly amused by it. But then I began to discern a pattern that was very disturbing to me, and it was having an endless succession of women on complaining about the men in their lives. And giving the impression that these aberrations were typical of men and women relationships. And that's when I started my disassociation with Oprah Winfrey that has only gotten worse ever since, because she's a doctrinaire ideologue and she tries to conceal it in her, even when she was a great big celebrity, she's trying to act like she's not a great big celebrity. And when Tom Cruise comes on the stage, she just gushes all over the place, and she's a bigger celebrity than he was.
Well,
she was able to pull it off, too. I got to give it to her. She can pull it off.
Yeah. I mean, you can't deny her money. She worked hard for that money. She got
I ain't got no use for it. I'm sorry. Whatever you want to compliment her on, that's fine. I'm not joining in the chorus.
I had a big war with Oprah.
I ain't joining in the chorus. I just ain't.
I know.
Refused to.
I had if we have time, I had a big war with Oprah. We had an actress here. Back in the day, they used to come on the show. And she was in it wasn't the Terminator. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was the Outer Space Alien. Was it Alien when Alien came down? What was it? And he used to fight. What was that movie? Well, anyway, she was in that movie.
Predator? Maybe Predator?
I think it was Predator. She was in it, and she begged me. She went to my executive producer. Oprah went after her. She begged me. She gave me some preview information, told me not to say who I got it from about Oprah, some stuff on Oprah. And it went back and forth. I didn't want to open up that little thing. But Oprah, I have no love for Oprah at all. I have no love for her friend Gail at all. She's a little puppet. I have no love for her. But anyway, I cannot deny her success.
Now, they're doctrinaire limousine liberals, and I don't like that type whatsoever.
But I cannot deny her success. Like, I cannot deny the Kardashian success. Kardashian.
If money and influence and is your level, is your measure of success, then she then hit the jackpot, for sure.
You asked a good question. What is your level of success? Some people think success is love. I finally found my soulmate, and that's success. You know, that's my life. And some people think it's money. I don't know. But my level of success is achievement. Just it doesn't have to be like I have to be. Oh, by the way, hey, you guys, I don't know if you could play it or not, but did you know the Powerball is $1.8 billion now? Can you guys play it? $1.8 billion.
Oh man, I just got an insurance refund yesterday, which I was not expecting. It's something like about $800-$900. I might just blow it on lottery tickets. Just
no. Yeah, come on. I don't know, a couple of tickets.
Okay, half of it. I might blow half of it.
No,
on lottery tickets.
No, you're smarter than a couple of tickets.
Thank you for talking me off the ledge. I ain't gonna do it. It's stupid.
I gotta talk you off the ledge. Yeah, it's one yes. point. I think it's $1.5 billion, and they're gonna draw it Saturday. So if you want to pick up
I'll do $20 worth. Okay, is that 20?
It's up to you. I don't know.
I'll do 20. Just for the hell of it, it's $20.
Do you really? My girlfriend and I had that argument. It's like, we look at
things.
We go to Vegas or something.
I don't know, 8 or 9 years. The last time I played the lottery was 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, it's part of history. I mean, this is the largest lottery in history. You'd be
I might just have to take it around and just stand, put a little frame and say, oh, biggest, I was part of it. I actually took a stupid shot at it and enriched somebody who I probably despise in some state government somewhere.
Well, we always look at when we go to Vegas or we go to Laughlin, these are places where you can gamble. We look at each other and say, how much do you want to lose? And then we figure out how much money we're going to lose. And that's how much that's our allotment of betting.
Isn't that amazing, the gambling instinct? Let me not play any more than I can afford to lose, because you know up front,
right?
That's what you're going to do.
We actually get the hell out.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, that is a philosophy. That is actually, if you're going to gamble, that's actually
right.
A sensible policy, because you know most of the time you're going to lose it. So you don't lose any more than you can afford to lose.
Exactly. And in between there, I like that my favorite game in Vegas and my favorite game in Laughlin is 21, where you have the woman – you know, it's a virtual 21 where she's styling, you know, sending you the cards and everything. That's my favorite game. As you're playing against everybody, there's four people around at the computer, and she's the virtual person who's just having the on your card. It's my favorite. What I do is I play on house money. I'll win $30, and then I'll play on house money and have whatever. But don't forget to do the lottery. It's only. We don't go 20. You know, we're talking about that 10-10. I said, you know, 10 is enough. I mean, look at all these poor bastards. It's been going on for like 2 weeks and nobody won. And you know these office companies are putting in hundreds and thousands of tickets. I mean, look at these bastards, man. Can you imagine these office parties? It's like there's one person who bought $50,000 worth of tickets and the bastard lost yesterday. Didn't even get the million. Thousand. If you can afford to put $50,000 into gambling, let's tell me something. You're ready to set your company on fire to collect your insurance money.
You'd be better off putting that kind of money in a cryptocurrency, you know?
Exactly.
You're about
to get
a much better return. I mean, I was amazed at the return I got on my investment. I kind of got in on the ground floor when it came to Bitcoin, and I made a killing. I literally made a killing. And then I got gutless and scared, and my partner advised me, don't sell your holdings, stay in it. This is going to go up. I mean, it's a bubble. It's going to be like the Holland tulip thing, you know, the Dutch tulip thing in the 17th century. This thing can't last. I mean, it's made out of the... What is that? It's packing it up. There's nothing there. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. I did it, and man, I would literally be a multimillionaire now if I hadn't done it.
I don't know. I think you're fine. I think you're fine because this crypto thing is not working out. I think you're
fine.
I
still made a killing. But, man,
I
didn't lose it. I was amazed at the amount of money I made. But if I hadn't done it, I would be a multimillionaire right now, Brian.
Wow.
I
would lose you. You wouldn't. You know, this is what it's about. You don't know. This is what it's about. We take the chance.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't play Monday morning quarterback and saying, we didn't know. So you did the sensible thing and be happy with that. You did the sensible thing.
Well, I'm not really kicking myself over it, but I'm just saying to myself, that's how the cards are dealt. You know, I mean, being prudent is not always the best choice.
It reminds
me of
women.
Most of the time it is. But not in this case.
I know. It's like you have a choice. Like, this woman has big boobs. This woman has small boobs. Who do you go for? And this woman with the small boobs is very smart, but this woman with the big boobs is kind of stupid. So you go with the big boob woman, and you realize that the boobs are not even real. Her tits are smaller than the original person. You made the wrong choice, mister. Trump says he will very, very, very probably run for president in 2024. His most explicit signal yet. Here we go. Donald Trump told a rally crowd that he's very, very, very probably run for president in 2024. It's the strongest signal yet. He will go ahead with his long-teased 2024 presidential bid. Trump faces a slew of investigation over his businesses and political activities. Joe Biden plans to seek re-election in 2024, even though voters are souring on him. Democrats aren't expected to primary Biden, but questions linger about a backup plan. Would-be candidates would have been seeking the national... That puts Kamala Harris into a very precarious position. It puts her into a very, very weird position. This woman can make history. Not only be the first woman president in the world, and Obama, she would make waves like Obama, the first black president. Can you imagine the first black woman president in the world? I mean, she made vice president. It could happen. And people are, and she's looking at this old dude and saying, you know what I mean? He ain't going to run. He can't
man,
run.
Man, the woman didn't get 1% in her primary when she ran the first time.
Oh, she did.
For president. She didn't get I don't think she got, she didn't get more than 3% when she ran, but nobody likes this woman in her own damn party.
But she could run. I mean, she hasn't really done anything to break out.
Obviously, she's an incumbent vice president.
Right.
I mean, and that is automatically a measure of your ability to run for president normally.
I think the only way that she could become president is if she kills
but
Biden.
She ain't normal, man. She's a giggly pothead. She's stupid. She's imbecilic.
I'll tell you, sir.
She's
an I'm a member of the Giggly Pothead.
She does not radiate any of the qualities of leadership whatsoever. She has no core. There's nothing there. Nothing.
You mock the GPA, the Giggling the Pothead Association. I am a member, sir. But I don't know.
Well, you ain't running for office either.
Yeah, I'm running for something.
You're not a person to be charged a nuclear button. You're not a person who has to inspire others.
What is
should
this?
It be necessary to go to battle on behalf of this country?
I see. But, you know,
Kamala Harris has no quality whatsoever of leadership that I can discern at all, anywhere.
But you're that.
Nothing.
But you're that close. You are that close. I mean, just one. Just
what
one
does that
fall.
Say about this country wheeling a creature like that, young vice president, who ain't even a natural-born citizen, by the way? She's not even a natural-born citizen. She's a Wong Kim Hock 14th Amendment citizen, according to the United States Supreme Court.
I have to look that up. You might. Well,
no, you better look up. You better look up what they ruled with Wong Kim Hock, the 1898 case
of
Wong Kim Hock. What the Supreme Court ruled was, and I'm going to summarize it real quick, Supreme Court said that Wong Kim Hock was a U.S. citizen, but only a U.S. citizen by virtue of the fact that his parents, who were both Chinese nationals, were lawfully resident in the country, and he was born in California. Now, without the 14th Amendment, he wouldn't even have been a citizen. Now, his birth status is identical to Kamala Harris's. Identical.
Well,
look, you got to remember, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 was ratified in 1787, right? There was no 14th Amendment when it was ratified. The 14th Amendment does not modify Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, the natural-born citizen requirement in any way. Now, I understand this would have to go before the court. I understand this would have to go before the court for a definitive ruling on that, and it hasn't. But if you look at the collective of the cases involving citizenship, the Venus Merchantman case of 1814, Minor versus Appleset, Wong Kim Hock, if you look at them collectively, among others, at lower-level courts, you cannot conclude that that woman, Kamala Harris, is an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen. You cannot make that conclusion. Even though she was born a U.S. citizen.
Uh-oh. Are you there?
Now, I understand that, you know, given the fact we got Obama, it's kind of, everybody says, well, that's a moot point now. Well, he wasn't a natural-born citizen either. I don't care what anybody says.
The sound is terrible. It's bubbly, the sound.
Oh, you know, that's blog
yes.
talk. Yeah, it's
yep.
getting... It could be two reasons.
But you
people
know what?
Tuning
when
in.
You come back
yeah.
into the, if you listen in archives, you don't hear it.
Oh, okay.
So.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't
so anyway,
know. But
I think that's the last taboo in American politics is of what constitutes an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural born citizen, eligible to be president, because it's the only thing it qualifies for. Natural born citizen eligibility has no application to anything else. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Staff, mayor, governor, senator, congressman, you don't have to be a natural born citizen for any of that. The only thing it applies to, only thing, is eligibility to be president or vice president. No other application. You're not a lesser citizen because you're not a natural born citizen. You're identical in every other measure.
But she was born
so
in
we get
open,
some idea,
does that make her
a president? But there's only been 46 of them, for Christ's sake. Jesus.
Yeah, but if she was born
in Oakland,
you're not
likely to be president anyway.
But if she was born in Oakland, doesn't that make her a natural born citizen?
Here we go again. You didn't listen to what I just said. Let me explain it to you again. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 specifies that you must be a natural-born citizen. Okay? Now, what is a natural-born citizen? Remember, the founders of the nation, the people who fomented and conducted the revolution, none of them were natural-born citizens. George Washington wasn't a natural-born citizen. John Adams wasn't a natural-born citizen. Thomas Jefferson wasn't a natural-born citizen. Up until John Quincy Adams, I think, was the first natural-born citizen president. Why? Because they were born subject to Great Britain. But here's how they were allowed to run for president. They put a grandfather clause in Article 2, which allowed them to run. Or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution. Okay? So they had a grandfather clause, let them run. That's only fair. Because, I mean, after all, there wouldn't be United States without them. So just what exempted George Washington and all the other British subjects from becoming president of the United States. So now what is a natural-born citizen since everybody that would be eligible under the grandfather clause has long been dead? So now what is a natural-born citizen? Well, first of all, I believe the purpose of the natural-born citizen clause, according to a letter from John Jay wrote a letter with his opinion of what it was. I believe the purpose of the natural-born citizen clause is to minimize, not prevent, because nothing prevents anything, minimize the likelihood of undue foreign influence on the office of president, particularly from a father who owes allegiance to a foreign sovereignty, because the framers of the Constitution were patriarchs, and they believed that the citizenship of the fathers was the citizenship of the child. And if you look at the Venus Merchantman case of 1814, the ruling there was they defined what a natural-born citizen was when they were talking about whether or not the British Navy had the right to impress American citizens on the high seas in the service in the British Navy, because that's what they were doing. It's one of the issues in the War of 1812. The British were running around hauling American sailors off of merchant ships and forcing them into the Royal Navy. And they defined what a citizen was, and they defined a natural-born citizen. And you know what they put in their ruling as to what a natural-born citizen was? They quoted the entire 212th paragraph of Emmerich Davitel's Law of Nations, which said a natural-born citizen was a person who had two, count them, two citizen parents and was born on the soil of the nation. That's what a natural-born citizen was. And the people who wrote that ruling were members of the founding generation. Most of them had fought in the Revolutionary War. So I don't know how you're going to say Kamala Harris is a natural-born citizen, and both of her parents were here lawfully. Yes, they weren't illegal aliens. They were here lawfully. But both of them were here on not even resident visas, but on student visas. So she's a 14th Amendment citizen just like Wong Kim Ark. But, you know, we can't look at this racist to examine such a thing.
It gets complicated. It does get complicated.
It's
but
not complicated.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't think it's complicated. It's only complicated if we decide to make it so.
Okay.
Look, the whole issue behind black people being the reason they adopted the 14th Amendment is because a lot of the southern states wouldn't let black people be citizens. You understand? The way you became a citizen of the United States prior to the adoption of the 14th Amendment was, here's the way you became a citizen. First of all, a state, one of the states of the Union, had to accept you as a citizen in that state. Once you were a citizen of a state, then you became a citizen of the United States. The 14th Amendment inverted that, order. If you're born lawfully in the United States, you are a citizen of the United States and of the state within which you reside. So they inverted it because the Confederate states, many of them, wouldn't let black people be citizens after they were freed. And so that's why we have such trouble discussing this. I'm a natural-born citizen. Both of my parents were citizens, and I was born in Cook County, Illinois. So I'm a natural-born citizen. I'm black.
Yeah. Well,
Donald Trump's children, by the way, Donald Trump's children are not natural-born citizens except for Barron. His children were born to Ivanka. She was a Czech national. Czech citizen laws say that any person born to any Czech national anywhere in the world is a Czech citizen, just like our laws say the same thing.
If you've got a parent who's a U.S. citizen, if you're born anywhere in the world, then your child is a U.S. citizen at birth. You forgot about the other kid that everybody forgets about. He has another daughter.
They're not natural born
citizens. Country. Yes, she is. Tiffany is.
I said all of Donald Trump's children, with the exception of Barron, are not. Now, Donald Trump Jr., as much as I love him, is not a natural born citizen.
You love that guy?
I love Donald Trump. I think he's great.
Oh, my
God,
help me.
But he's not eligible to run for president because he ain't a natural-born citizen.
Thank God.
All right, but then nobody's going to pay attention to it. They didn't pay attention with Obama.
They're not paying attention with Harris.
So I said, look, if we're going to ignore the rule, then let Donald Trump Jr. run, too.
Come on.
That's not the current state of affairs. The current state of affairs is to ignore the Constitution and not even let it come up for a hearing in the Supreme Court. So if you're going to do that, I say let Donald Trump Jr. run, let Ivanka run, even though they ain't natural born citizens either.
Answer me, please, the people that support the Trumps, okay, and obviously you're one of them, you almost talk about them like they're a monarchy, that they all need to be president.
Okay. Now, see, apparently you weren't listening to what I just said. If I was a true monarchist, I would not describe any of them as potential usurpers if they were decide to run. I would ignore all that and yield to the issue of primogeniture, wouldn't I? But I'm not advocating primogeniture. I'm, in fact, pointing out why they are not eligible. So what you say cannot be true based upon what I just said.
Why?
I'm not blind to what they are and what they're not.
You really think that
I wouldn't even necessarily support Donald Trump Jr. if he was to run. There might maybe somebody running. I think it's better. I mean, why would you say such a thing as that?
Interesting thing I want to bring up. I'm trying
to understand why you think I have this blind allegiance to Donald Trump, which I do not have.
I didn't say blind. It's just sort of like you guys. I've heard
but where's this monarchy stuff from? In fact, Donald Trump is a living refutation of monarchy
Trump
and elitism.
Donald
Trump is literally the refutation of elitism. And then you say, like, I look at him as a monarchy. No, I don't. I look at him as a blue-collar billionaire.
What? Blue-collar
You heard me. Let me say it again. Donald Trump is the closest thing I've seen to a blue collar millionaire ever. Him and Mike Rowe would be best friends. Mike Rowe is a guy who advocates for people like me, people who grew up with grease under their fingernails and blood. I've always been a blue collar guy, Lisa. I know blue collar people when I see them here. I've been a mechanic. I've been a truck driver. I've been a soldier. I've been a police officer. I am a blue collar guy. I know blue collar people. And Donald Trump has a blue collar instinct, even if he is a billionaire.
I get it.
We reject elitism. The Democrats and the progressives love elites. We don't.
Oh,
I,
boy.
Oh, I get it. But, you know, going back to the Irving thing, you know, I don't understand why the ADL rejected his $500,000. They said that it's stupid. It's just stupid. I know they want to make a statement. We don't need your money. We don't need this. But like I said, it's, you know, when the Jews just kind of not, you know, I'm not going to go with that joke again. But you know what I'm saying.
by the way, Brian, I didn't mean to change the thrust of the conversation, but apparently you need a little explanation as to why I say what I said about Trump and Obama and Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, same thing. He ain't an entrepreneur citizen either. And I really love Ted Cruz, too. He ain't an entrepreneur citizen either. Neither is Marco Rubio. So, I mean, this is not a matter of who I like and don't like. It is a matter of what is in the Constitution, all right? But anyway, when it comes to Donald Trump, I think one of the reasons he's been footsieing around with this announcement is because it has to do with campaign finance disclosures when you're eligible to be candidate. It has to do with election law and campaign finance disclosures, and it's a matter of timing when you make your announcement as to what is advantageous for you as a candidate. I'm not exactly sure about the details, but I think that has much to do with it. Although I would like to see Donald Trump make his announcement just before the election and then watch the leftist media's heads explode when all his predictions come true, like most of them always do. That's what I love to see that stuff, them get outraged and start spluttering over Donald Trump. It just makes my day.
Well, I look at it this way, and I listen. I look at it this way. Bring me your two-time loser, your two-time your impeached guy, your disgraced guy. Give me your guy who's still under investigation and under indictment, and let him run for president of the United States. We want him to run. The Democrats want him to run. The news people, CNN, Fox, NBC, they want him to run, too, because it brings in ratings. It brings in silly stuff. If Trump likes to troll people and get in the headlines over silly stuff. So their ratings will go up. CNN is having a hard time with their ratings since Trump fell off the platform. They're having they're almost non-existent. And MSNBC the same way. These 24-hour cycle news things are failing because Trump is not in the headlines. They would love to see him run. That's why they're promoting it already. So I don't think nobody's head's going to explode. I'm saying as a Democrat, yes, bring me your two-time loser, your two-time impeached, your two-time indicted guy. Bring me this guy. Bring me the guy who's we're going to be talking about trying to do a coup over the United States and treason and stuff. This is the best you got? No, but you're saying this is the best you got?
I think the fact that he was impeached twice is literally a badge of honor as to his attempt to root out Trump.
But that's how
I see it as a badge of honor, and those who support him do also.
Okay.
Because we know now what the details of that impeachment were. There was no dishonor in him being impeached twice.
But I'm just
saying, if they had the grounds to impeach Trump over what they did, and we can go over it in detail because it all came out.
I don't want to go over the details. I don't want to go into details, and I really don't care. I'm just saying, bring us your loser, and we'll be gladly go against him.
I'm not even saying I'm going to support Trump if he runs. I think DeSantis would be a better candidate than Trump.
I do, too.
If DeSantis and Trump run based upon what I know right now, I'm probably going to support DeSantis over Trump. And I love
Trump. I think you're smart. Yeah, I know. People are tired of this drama.
I'm not any acolyte for any politician.
I understand.
Even if I admire them.
I understand. I'm a Democrat. The one who I'm concerned about, I'm not really – DeSantis is going to make a great run if he grabs some balls. Ted Cruz took a shot at Trump today saying, why isn't he not spending his money on the candidates and help other candidates? So Ted Cruz is on his podcast. Ted Cruz took a shot at Trump, and he will backtrack it again and say, I'm sorry, and kiss Trump's droopy balls.
I think Trump is doing something smart. He's not being a lightning rod for these rats in the little traps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's been staying out of it, so they can't make him an issue when it comes to evaluating these candidates
right.
in these midterm races against these truly god-awful Democrat candidates. They can't bring the issue of Donald Trump in there because, for the most part, he has not injected himself into these races. I think that is an unselfish and very smart strategy. And I also
no,
another
has.
Reason I admire the guy. With the ego
he
like he got,
he brought
when you look
you
at the ego
Herschel,
that Donald Trump got, and he is
Donald
relegating,
Trump brought
think,
you Herschel
I
Walker.
He is relegating that ego to the sidelines.
No, Sarge, he brought you Herschel Walker, and he brought you Dr. Oz. This is courtesy of Donald Trump.
I didn't say he was completely absent, did I? I said for the most part. Did you hear the word I used, the phrase?
I heard what you said most part, but
most
before you do
part.
that guy's going to be unraveling for the next 2 weeks before you say that. I know we got the election Tuesday, the midterms Tuesday. I prepared to hear he was in Iowa who said that he said he would probably, what did he say again, Melissa? You said it. Trump says he would very, very, very probably run for president in 2024. That is the most scariest thing. I would probably
remember the campaign finance law, I'm sure has a lot to do with the fact you got to make certain when you announce formally you're a candidate, you got a campaign finance law requires you to do certain things. And apparently,
well, here he is
timing
right here.
Is everything with a lot of these guys. I don't see why he should be denied that timing, which is most advantageous to his campaign.
Well, here he is right here. Here he is right here. Here's Donald Trump in his own words.
Second time than I did the first, getting millions more money than I got in 2016, and likewise, getting more votes than any sitting president in the history of our country by far. And now, in order to make our country successful.
He got more votes than any sitting president? Any sitting president?
That is a matter of fact. He literally did.
No, he did not.
I mean, no sitting president in the history of the United States has gotten more votes than he got.
Biden.
He got 65 million votes the first time around. This time around, he got like 73 million.
Biden beat him. Come on, Sarge. Biden is a sitting president.
You do know mathematics, you know, greater than or lesser than?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, you literally, I mean, unless you want to deny the evidence results or something, I mean,
what is
the
result? He lost by 30 million votes.
They claim that Joe Biden got more, but Joe Biden wasn't sitting
claim.
President.
Okay.
The sitting
argument over.
The sitting president was Donald Trump, and no incumbent president who ever ran for the office got more
Obama.
Votes.
Obama got more votes than him.
That is a matter of fact. That's not an opinion, Brian.
Okay. All right. Well, here he is.
I mean, why are we arguing about it? Okay, I'm going to step for the purpose of this argument that Joe Biden got more votes than he did, okay? I don't believe it, but that's what they say. So for the purpose of this argument, he got more votes.
Well, if you don't believe it, then
I can't debate
you.
Donald Trump got more votes than any other sitting president ever.
Okay. Here we go. Here's your guy. Here we go.
And safe and glorious. I will very, very, very probably do it again, okay? Very, very, very. Very, very, very. Well, get ready. That's all I'm telling you. Very soon. Get ready. Get ready.
You know how old he would be? You guys are laughing at Biden. You know how old Donald Trump? How old is Biden right now? Biden is what, 70? How old is Biden? Biden is, what's Biden's age? 70 what? Let me see. Biden age, Trump's age. Let me see. How old is Donald Trump? Donald Trump. Biden is, let me see here.
He's 80 right now.
Who is? Donald Trump turned 76.
Joe Biden is 80.
Okay, he's 80. So Donald Trump turned 76 years old on June 14th. He turned 76. If he were to run, it'll be 2 years for him to get through this before we get to election. So he'll be 78 We got to get through the primaries. And then we go to the election. It'll probably be 79 when it actually comes down to election time. So he would be Biden, around Biden's age, around 80, if he got elected. And he would serve until he's either 83 or 84. That'll be his last term. And the problem with Donald Trump is that now he will not be on a leash because he knows that he cannot run again. So it's going to be like, I can do any fucking thing I want to do. What are you going to do? Who's going to hold me accountable? This is my last term. I'll do what I want to do. I'm not going to listen to you fuckheads. And I'm going to use America as a bank. I mean, this is the most dangerous guy. If he gets elected, he's going to be the most dangerous man on this planet because he's not going to be held accountable for anything. He could do what he wants to do. This is his last term ever. Can you imagine that much power? Melissa, Sarge, can you imagine that? There'll be no rain on him.
Okay, now understand this, Brian. Look, Donald Trump, look, your age, it depends on how you age, not the fact that you age. Bernie Sanders, as much as I would never support anything he ever does, is as sharp as a tack, okay? He's older than Biden is, and he's sharp as a tack. People like Geraldo Rivera, he's older than Trump, and he's sharp as a tack. It depends on how you age. It's not the fact that you age. Biden mentally aged very badly. That's his problem, not the fact that he's old.
Well, certain things.
And Trump is still on top of his game mentally, and I have no doubt about his mental capacities to do the job, given the sterling job as an executive that he did last time. If you look at the objective merits of his administration, you know, unemployment, energy independence, status in the world, the treaties he got signed, the things he did as an executive, not as a Twitter personality, the guy had an effective presidency.
Well,
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But we got to get through these stories. I want you guys let me see. Here are some things. Okay. I'm not going to compare with age because I agree with you. I do agree with you. There's rumors that Melania Trump
wants let's face it. If you have age and you're still sharp mentally, then you should acquire a measure of wisdom which serves you well that maybe a younger candidate doesn't have. Depends on how you age.
That's true. That's true. There's rumors that Melania Trump is divorcing Donald Trump. But again, we don't get these rumors. She's not divorcing nobody. They made a deal. They made some kind of deal that she gets all this money. Trust me, she's not going nowhere. Here we go. Our show, I know, I just got to move forward. We go back to the Kyrie Irving, talking about Jewish people. We asked eight Jews, black Jews, to weigh on Ye's mess. So here's some notable black Jews. The Jewish community, which the verses of blah, 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 blah. Rabbi Sandra Lawson is an activist, public speaker, she's black, and a nappy-headed Jew. I just put that in. And she's openly gay. So she's a black rabbi who's openly gay. Woo! I'm trying to think okay. Here's a guy. His name is Reverend Yosef Abraham. He's a black Jew. I've been a Kanye fan for years, but his recent comments put black Jews on the defensive. I converted to Judaism, and I'm very much identified with African-American part of myself. But while I emphasize with Kanye on a certain level, I'm really upset with him for the things that he is saying. These are really dangerous statements that all that are negative and can inspire even more people to act negatively. See, I'm sick and tired of we cannot say shit because we're afraid that a moron's going to act crazy. Are we, I mean, my God, do we have to be responsible for the craziness? I'm sorry, but Sarge, you cannot say crazy shit because somebody's not on their medication and they're going to shoot up people and they're going to shoot up little orphans or blind orphans in an orphan home. The last thing we want is for you to say something that some guy goes shoot up blind orphans in an orphanage. I mean, do we really have to watch what we – and I'm just using that play on words. I'm just doing this stupid act. What I'm trying – I'm being really extreme here. But I am sick and tired of saying you must be responsible for what you say can affect other people. Don't say anything about Pelosi. Don't say anything hatred towards Pelosi because then you're going to spite hatred and things towards her. Don't say anything negative about Donald Trump because then you're going to – and then you're going to expire the assassination. You know – I was watching Lawrence O'Donnell the other day, and he's the guy on MSNBC. He comes on later. And they were talking about this Pelosi mess. Everybody was talking about this as a deranged guy and blah, 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 mentally ill, whatever. He was the first one to use the word assassination. I looked up and I said, what? He used the word of, let's go back to the story about the assassination, the attempted assassination of Pelosi's husband. Assassination? He actually used that word, and this is MSNBC. Nobody else was using that word. Now, the guy says that he wanted to get Nancy Pelosi, bust her kneecaps if she didn't answer her and dump her something. But he didn't, I mean, he hit him over the head with a hammer. He didn't break him with a gun, and I'm not saying it's a lesser thing, but to use the word assassination is a little bit too much, don't you think, just to get you angry? I say that to you guys.
Look, it'd be different if these people had a consistent standard, but you and I both know they do not. They had almost nothing to say when Jerome Kavanaugh's house was surrounded by protesters in violation of federal law and when an assassin was literally caught in the act of attempting to murder him. They had little to say other than jokes about when Steve Scalise was shot by a deranged Bernie Sanders supporter at a ball game, and several other people wounded. See, police almost died. They didn't have much to say about that. They don't have a consistent standard. I despise these people. Lawrence O'Donnell, I'd spit in your eye if I saw you. All right? I can't stand these people. I hate people with differential standards, and they don't have any. So let's get that out of the way first. Second of all, I agree with you completely that we cannot have a country with a First Amendment unless we are free to say whatever is legal to say. The only speech that should be censored and or prosecuted is that speech which is a direct incitement to violence, criminality, or fraud. Every other speech should be allowed. Period. And let the devil take the hindmost when people start speaking their minds.
Okay.
We can. This country is literally the first in our Bill of Rights is the right to speak.
That's what I'm saying.
And we don't need a First Amendment for speech that is popular. You don't need it for that.
I agree. Here's this guy who converted to Judaism. He's black. And he says we should collectively, as a global community, condemn anybody who professes hate towards any group of our time. Now, we should collectively, as a global community, condemn anyone who possesses hate towards any group at any time. Who made you Black Jew King? The last Black Jew King I met was Jesus. Oh boy!
Well, you know, all right. Anybody you can condemn me. Look, you got a right to condemn people too, because that's your First Amendment right to condemn them.
Right.
I mean, that's what the purpose of speech is. The speech,
exactly.
The antidote to bad speech is more good speech or more speech.
Exactly.
That's all right,
exactly.
James. That's why I stopped being a progressive leftist. I heard better speech. I mean, I was a fanatic. I was like fanatic, like a lot of leftists are. I didn't think much. I was bumper sticker slogan into believing anything, bumper sticker sloganeered into believing almost anything they wanted me to believe. But then I started, a glimmer of truth started to come out, and I had empirical evidence of my experiences. I said, why am I believing this crap?
You know, I there's a lot of stuff that I heard over the air in 11 years that my left ear is just, I got one of those big ears. You saw me down the street, my, because I can't believe what I'm hearing, and so it has been affected my ear, so I have a big giant ear on one side. Here's this other guy right here. He says, same guy. Oh, no, here's another guy. His name is Jared Jackson. He's black, and he's a Jew. And he's the founder of, he's the director of Jews in All Hues. Black people. Jews in All
Hues. Yeah, that's cute.
Oh, my God. He says, I'm really glad there are consequences for Kanye West. Finally, that he's losing his endorsements because of his anti-Semitic views and white supremacist rhetoric. It would also be great if other people received the negative consequences for the same bigotry. Now, it seems like all white Jews save up all of their angst, and anger towards white anti-Semites and waited for a chance to unleash it at black and brown figures, in particular someone descended from enslaved people in these lands, instead of those white folks who have more power in this system. When a black celebrity says remotely the same thing, see Nick Cannon, they're either run through the ringer or educated or both. When white Jews get into the fight or flight mode, there is this erasure of Jews of color, specifically black Jews. I guess you erased the black Jew, huh? And the response, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what he's trying to say. I think he has a chip on his shoulder.
Brian, I don't know about you, but I grew up all of my life growing up, I would hear regularly, not constantly or endless stream of, but regularly I would hear comments in the black community from people I knew that were remarks that be considered bigoted amongst Jews. It was a common one. I got to go to work today and make some money for these Jews. Or I got to pay the Jews this rent. Regularly I heard these comments growing up in the black community.
Really?
Regularly. And for the most part, you didn't hear that. Yes, in Southside Chicago, it was common. And I'm saying this is my experience now. And when the only time I remember hearing it directed publicly, the first time I heard a major controversy about anti-Semitic remarks in a black public figure was with Louis Calypso Louis Farrakhan. And it remarked about Judaism being a gutter religion and all that. Other than that, it would go under the radar, the regular anti-Jewish bigotry in the black community that was almost routine.
Well, I think Jesse Jackson was the one who called them Heinies. I mean, it started at...
He called them Heimy Town. New York is Heimy Town.
Yeah, back in the day. That was...
Yeah. And he got... that was also on the only other... Yeah, those two would be the only time I remember public opprobrium being directed against a black public figure. And other than that, though, but the ordinary anti-Semitism of black people in the neighborhood would regularly just go unremarked. And it was a constant when I was growing up, remarks about Jews. Constant.
Yeah. I get you.
And look what's going on with the anti-Asian, not just bigotry, but physical attacks by black people in a black community against Asians. It is off the chain. And
mainstream
media is gutless. The gutless,
right,
no-good, stink-ass, intersectional bastards don't have the courage to speak on it.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, what's going on with the Asian thing? All of it seemed like within the last year.
Now look at what's going on with the Supreme Court case. You got the Asians are bringing this case to the court. They're getting the short end of the stick with this college admissions crap.
God,
And let's face it, man. And what have you heard? And again, this is what I am saying. I have heard. This is my truth, as leftists like to say.
Well,
this is
not
my
wrong.
Truth. I'm growing up here. Whenever anybody raises an objection, on the objective merits of discrimination
right.
has applies to the law, I would regularly right. hear black people around me say, you don't get to do that because you didn't go through what we went through as black people. We got a prior
right.
claim on discrimination that nobody else is entitled to because you weren't slaves.
Right.
I heard this all the time.
Well, I believe your truth because you're not wrong. There you go. Silence. Silence. Oh, there she is.
Well, you know, I don't look, I, like I said, though, you know, I don't believe in my truth or your truth. I believe in the truth. I believe it is
okay.
possible, even if it's difficult, to ascertain what objective truth is. Yes, sometimes it's difficult. Yes, sometimes
yes.
there are subjective factors and considerations. But ultimately, if you believe in transcendent, objective, moral truth, you can determine what the truth is. And that's
right.
what we need to strive to do at all times.
Right. And yes, Melissa.
Sarge wasn't around for that old, long-running joke.
Yeah. It wasn't Wong, Wong, Asian.
It wasn't Wong,
Wong,
yeah.
It wasn't Wong.
Yeah, like
your
pilot said when
not...
the plane was about to crash, he says his name was I think something Wong.
You're so cautious to say that. I know you didn't want to. I know you really didn't want to.
Yeah, it was a crack. But like I said, I got free speech rights in this country, so anybody don't like it, they can go piss up a rope.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Oh, my God, to come down to our level, sir.
Yeah, I know. But look, man, look. This will never be so. You know, I get all of this stuff out. From, my truth? My truth was lived at a time when I was a soldier in combat. And I remember, I can't help but think, if I had platoon leaders and company commanders and officers in charge who applied subjective consideration to giving people dangerous assignments, then the company and the unit could never work together. If you're going to constantly assign people you don't like to point or listening posts, or clearing minefields, or clearing lanes, or looking, then the company can't work. Nobody's going to want to follow their orders. You've got to have, everybody's got to be seen as being treated fairly. Even in the most dangerous situation. We got a society that applies subjective criteria, things that ought to be objective. Man, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for the Balkans. You're asking for Yugoslavia. You're asking for what happened in the Balkan Wars and all that. You get literally the word Balkanization from it. And we've got these Marxists who believe in dialectical materialism, that is pitting one group against another, and that's what they're working busily at to erode our faith in each other and our ability to work communally in the truest sense, where it's voluntary.
Mm.
And we've got to beat this back.
Yeah, we do. You know, but I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe, you know, the answer, when you try to silence speech, when you try to censor people, there's a big backlash that is even more powerful than what you're trying to do. People are just tired. I think the pandemic, people are just said, fuck it. You know what I mean? I think they're tired. I think they're, you know, maybe we need a Christmas song.
Brian, people have an instinct to the tribal. It is instinctive and is bred with us over however long we've been evolving as human beings. We have an instinct to the tribal, and that's understandable, and it's not always bad.
Yeah.
But see, this country, if you think about it, in the propositions and premises of its founding, was an attempt to obviate and get beyond that, to submit the tribal instinct to the idea of the rule of law, not the rule of groups, not the rule of genetics, not the rule of divine right of kings, the idea of the rule of law, and that law is expressed in our Constitution. It is the ultimate law over and above all others in this country. And everything else subordinates itself to the state constitution and beyond. And when we get these issues before the Supreme Court, of matters that should be decided objectively based upon merit, because this country strove in its aspirational ideal, not in the reality, but in the aspirational ideal, to be a system based on merit. And we're now starting to abandon even that aspiration.
That's true. I had a white friend. We were having tea the other day. Brian, would you like to enjoy me for a spot of tea? Yes, sir. So here we are, two people having tea in Hollywood with my little pinky up in the air to let the Lord knows that I am polite. We're having a spot of tea. So he says to me, with all this racial rhetoric going on, and am I worried about the Proud Boys or the Poor Boys or whatever white boys, you know, are you worried that this hatred is going to stem and coming through your neighborhood? And I said, no, because the white boys understand that we got guns too now. It's not like the good old days where they could just round us up, you know what I mean, and sell us. We got guns.
Well, you have to be careful now. You're living in a rat city. The rats don't want you to be able to defend themselves against the lumping proletariat they're letting loose out of jail. Okay?
True.
Where you live. Now, if you live in a state that's got sane gun laws, meaning that, if you're a law-abiding citizen, you're presumed to be armed if you're a law. That should be the operative word. You should presume a law-abiding citizen is armed.
That's true.
You should presume.
You're right, and I think you're.
But in Democrat cities, you got to prove you have a reason to have a gun, and even then, they want to try to deny it from you.
That's true. But me and my girlfriend were talking about a .38 yesterday. But my point of it is that you could talk about white supremacists and Proud Boys, whatever. They ain't coming into my neighborhood. The last thing they want to do is come into a black neighborhood. These guys are not going to be marching. You're not going to see white supremacists take out a license to protest and march down Compton. You will not see that ever. You're not going to see them going Englewood.
I wish to God that your average black male or even any black person was at the same risk as death or serious bodily harm from a white supremacist as they are from many of the tiny subset of 17 to 34-year-old black feral criminals, which is a very small subset of the black population, but one that is being coddled, it is being protected, and is not being called to account for what it's doing. I wish black people faced the same risk of death or serious bodily harm from white black criminals as they do white supremacists. If that's the case, black people wouldn't have nothing to worry about.
I agree. I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. And I do – there's another subject because I don't want to trigger you because I will talk about – see, the election midterms is Tuesday, I believe. So we got one more day to talk about the letting the criminal, letting people out of jail early. We'll talk about that later. But
I'm triggered on that one, man. You know that.
Yeah, I do. I know. That's why I'm waiting for Monday to go over some props. And these are some – and I made a promise, so I have to do this really quick. So when we come back, I'm going to drink a cup of coffee. Melissa has to go shopping. I finished my Christmas shopping, by the way. And just give me a minute. Let me drink another cup of coffee. We're going to go over a couple of propositions, and we're going to be out of here that you should know about what's going on in your state. You're listening to – The Melissa, Sarge, and Brian Show on BT Radio. I am Brian. I am not. I am Fritz Coleman. I had to change my name because I got death threats. So I'm going to change it to Coleman.
Call me Mrs. Dershowitz. That's my name.
And Mrs. Gertzowitz is here. And Sarge is here. And I'm Fritz. So we'll be right back after we have some bagels and cream cheese.
Lock.
And some locks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play some very Jewish Christmas music because we're Jews today.
Avanagia.
That's my friend Benny. Okay, we'll be right back. Christmas music for Jews.
Isn't it dreidel? There's some dreidel song. Right?
Oh, I did. I already played it.
Did you?
Yeah, here it is. Here's the biggest Jewish Christmas music you ever. We'll be right back.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
Have a couple of minutes left on this show. We're going to go with midterms. They're going to be on your ballot. And Liff. It seems like Liff is always on the proposition. Liff is, do I really want to do it? Liff's support is by Governor Gavin Newsom, who's a The only thing I talk about Newsom is an idiot. Okay, Amendment 1, what does it mean in Illinois? Voters will decide a measure that would amend the state constitution to include an explicit provision that employees have the right to organize and collectively bargain over wages, hours, and working conditions. They don't even have that? Huh. I thought they had that already. Amendment 1, who's backing it? Let's go with New York Proposal 1. What it does, Proposal 1 is a ballot measure that will allow the state to borrow $4.2 billion to fund climate initiatives. A $3 billion bond was initially proposed by Governor Andrew Cuomo, but it was increased under Kathy Hochul. Wow. Wow. Montana Constitution Amendment 48. What did it do? C-48. It was amend Montana's constitution to explicitly require law enforcement agencies to secure a search warrant before assessing people's electronic data. The amendment will update the state constitution, which already contains protection for physical items such as paper documents and homes. Well, you know, it's interesting because there you go, Montana. You have a choice to reverse. You have a choice to reverse this Big Brother syndrome. That the government can come into your phones. C, vote for C. C 48. It's Amendment 48.
See, Brian, that's the beauty of federalism, man. And when you can find one state that goes beyond the minimal floor of people's rights and adds others that, you know, you don't find in the federal constitution. See, Montana has decided to go one step beyond and add an additional layer of protection for their citizens and people in their state. That's a beautiful thing about federalism. That's why we shouldn't have one size fits all legislation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is the point. When you make this is the, and this is also, you can see, the problems with federalism, which is why you have an option to get the hell out of the state that is like New York with that Skeletor looking woman running it.
I like her. You leave that woman alone. She's sacred.
Man, she is an imbecile, man. She's just one notch above Kamala Harris smarts. She is really profoundly just, I mean, something about her is so off-putting. After listening to that woman make that remark, she made, why are you concerned about locking up criminals? I mean, I've had it with her.
Right. Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't need to hear another word out of her stupid mouth. That's it. The most important duty of government, is, aside from protecting people's rights, is the duty to provide security and civil order. And this woman completely abnegated and is prepared to abrogate it with an idiotic question like that. It should be self-evident, you moron.
Mm.
Oh, you got no business being in the office.
Yeah. Well,
God,
we'll see.
Where'd you get these people? Do they conjure them up in some kind of horrid secret laboratory somewhere and just fill their head full of these stupid tropes and memes and idiocies? Where do we get these creatures?
Well, we do have a transgender in office right now in Congress. Do we have two, don't we? One's an Indian. One's an American Indian transgender. Well, I think we do.
Okay.
Is it something like she's an American Indian transgender. I think it's like little pussy feet.
Look, man, there ain't nothing on God's green earth to convince me that transgenderism isn't a sign of mental illness. I got a feeling, too.
I'm not saying
they can't be a congressman. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. Winston Churchill was very functional with his acute depression, okay? So you can be functional and still have a mental illness, but no one ever is going to convince me that transgenderism is not a sign of a mental dysfunction. You cannot do it. You've got perfectly normal sexual organs, and you're at odds with them. There is something wrong with you.
I agree with you. I'm sorry.
I'm just not changing my mind on that one. I don't care what or the American Psychiatric Association says.
Yeah.
And I think most people in their heart of hearts feel the same way.
No,
Again, you could be functional with a mental illness. So I'm not saying you can't do X, Y, or Z. But, you know, like many of us cope with, you know, mental problems and disorders, but we don't try to pretend that they're not mental disorders, do we?
Right. Right, I happen to agree.
But you see, because transgenderism is so self-evidently a mental illness, we've got to be bombarded, bullied, and intimidated into saying, no, it isn't. It's perfectly normal. Everybody knows it isn't, but that's why they got to double their efforts to tell you that you can't say it isn't, or it is.
But do you believe that I was looking at gerrymandering, and you're talking about homosexual, almost like gay. I thought I had to read it twice because I thought it was saying gay mandering. Do you believe cross-dressers are mentally ill? Or is just they prefer nice?
Not necessarily. I mean, there is kind of a history even of heterosexual cross-dressing. Because clothes are clothes, if you stop to think about it. The reason we have, we make a differentiation with male and female clothing, because let's face it, the reason male and female clothing, as we stereotypically understand it, came about because clothes are an expression of, for many people, clothes are an expression of your being. And your attitudes and your, you know, maybe the membership in an organization you're in, if they're a uniform or whatever. But it's an expression, an outward expression of who you are and your status. And we understand there's a profound distinction between men and women. We understand this. It's why it goes back millennia. And so I don't necessarily think that way with cross-dressing or transvestism. Because you could be completely heterosexual and be a cross-dresser. I mean, you can be homosexual and be a cross-dresser, not necessarily dysfunctional. But I think it's really odd. You know what I mean? Just odd. I think that's an odd category.
I keep thinking. I always try to put my experience. It was a friend of mine. Me and my friend were Nick. And Nick had his girlfriend, I had my girlfriend and everything. They were complaining. How come we can't go? I live in California. I live really close to West Hollywood. How come we cannot go to the gay parade? 111, you're live on the air. Is this Mr. Solution? We only got a couple of minutes left. Is this Mr. Solution? 111?
I just wanted to say I told you you weren't coming on Thursday. And you didn't.
We're on for 3 hours today. You barely made it.
Yeah, well, I already got him on him about that. I've read him the Riot Act already.
Okay, all right, good. And I told him he should turn things over to Melissa because she's more consistent.
He's starting to coup.
You were great in your day, Brian. I got to give it to you, but it seems that the sun has set.
Yeah. Well, I do. I'm not making much money on Blog Talk right now. I got to make money where I can, guys. I was in a meeting, and I thought I was going to get out sooner than I thought. And by the time I got out, it was 11 o'clock California time, and I knew you guys were gone. So I said, okay, I'll wake up early and set up a good show for them today.
So what happened?
I was in a meeting that went longer than I thought.
Oh, okay.
You deserted your post. I think we ought to court-martial your ass.
Going back to my story, so these two women, the girlfriends, they were close. They said, well, we want to go to the gay parade. So me and Nick, we don't want to go to no gay parade. And then, you know, then they had two women having an attitude. Well, you can't go to gay parade, then you're not going to gay. So me and Nick said, okay, we'll go to the gay parade. We were at the gay, you know, they had the floats and everything. We're going in the back. Oh, look at the floats. And, you know, the men were in there all, you know, their G-strings and looking at chicken, whatever. Think of the worst gay theme ever. We were there. And the girls go, oh, look at this. And maybe they were closet lesbians. I don't know. So I said, hey, Nick, want to have some fun? Nick goes, what? We can go back in this float. And we let these, and then the joke was, we're going to go on a float, and they're going to be watching a float, and there was us dancing. That was the joke. Nick goes, man, do you really want to do it? I go, I don't know. And then it was the gay guy says, come on, y'all, you can be on our float. I go, come on, Nick, let's have some fun, you know. So that's what happened. The float came by, And when we and they were there, you know, with their clapping and everything, and then they opened up the feathers, and there was me and Nick. We were there, and we had no shirt on and everything. We're just dancing like little fairies on the floor. You just seen their mouth open. They were so pissed off at us because they thought we were mocking the thing. Okay, we got off the float. Me and Nick is cracking up. We're cracking up. We're cracking up. And then we hear this voice like, "What y'all doing?" We go, "Huh?" This is the biggest guy I ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? He had no shirt on and everything. And it's like, "What y'all doing?" We look back and go, "What happened to the sun?" You know, because he goes, "He's blocking it, dude. Come here. Why don't you guys go have a..." Bottom line, me and Nick took off. Run! We were running down the street with no shirt on and our pants, and we left everything there because we're thinking the gays were tracing us. We hid behind a car for like two little bitches for like, it seemed like forever, like 45 minutes, and we saw our girlfriends, and we go, "Psst, hey, come here." And they're laughing at us, and we went home. That's a horrible... So it was a joke that went horribly wrong, that Bubba would have had us for lunch. And that was it. As far as the gay parade, I mean, if you want to go to a circus, fine, go to a circus. Why did I tell a story? I have no idea, because Mr. Solution came in and I thought about gay. That's it. And by the way, my name is Fritz, sir. And it, that's my name. We're all Jewish today.
I'm Mrs. Dershowitz.
And this is Mrs. Gershowitz.
Dershowitz.
And there's gold in my ear and silver in my ass.
Say my name right.
Okay.
I don't know. Fritz is not really that much of a Jewish name there, pal. You better pick
it's
another
not,
one.
It's German, isn't it?
German.
I'm a German.
Yeah,
German.
You better pick Adam. You better pick Adam or something.
Okay, how about Bernie?
Maybe I don't know. Maybe Jaime. You know, like Jaime White?
Oh, my God. Just call me Bernie.
Seymour Buck.
Bernie sounds good. It sounds nice and Jewish. Okay, Bernie.
There you go. What was that movie?
I
the
am
guy
a
was
son
dead.
Of Abraham.
Weekend at Bernie.
Sure
or Abraham's a good one. Abraham's a good one.
Moses.
We're all
how about Jewish.
Moses?
Moses,
go
down.
I heard that's a good name. We're all Jewish today. We're all Jewish to promote unity and love for the Jewish community. Here we go. Midterm elections. I don't have anything.
Let me ask you something, Brian. Is there any such thing as a Jewish atheist?
A Jewish what?
Atheist. Atheist.
Of course. I would
no,
think.
There isn't. You liar.
Yes, there is. Then why would you ask such a question? Then why would you ask such a question?
Well, how can you be Jewish and be an atheist?
Because
if you're
I knew
Jewish,
I wasn't.
You believe in the one true God.
True.
The reason I asked that question, Brian, I knew I wasn't at the seat of knowledge.
You know what? You are not going to Mount Sinai. I'm taking your name off the list.
No, but listen.
You are not going to the promised land. You know what? You're going to stay with me on the mountain.
A Jewish person has to believe in the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh. Period.
You know, you're ruining my Jew day.
I mean, anybody been raised culturally as a Jew, but how can you be Jewish if you don't believe in the Jewish religion?
He's confused.
Right,
you guys are ruining my Jew day. You guys are ruining
that means, that means that you're a son of the founding fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
What
and
is
it's
the
a
holiday?
Faith, it's Hanukkah. A faith thing. You know, Jesus dismissed that you're born a Jew.
Jesus called you a black bastard.
No, some of them thought that you had to be circumcised, but that doesn't make one a Jew.
You are ruining my Jew day.
Why? With knowledge?
No, you're going to be. We're going to give you a Jewish name. Okay?
No, I just told you, son of Abraham. That's who I am.
No. That's too highbrow.
You said,
you can't name me.
I'm superior to
you.
I'm superior to you.
What do you think Abramson means, man? I mean, we Abramson.
We
he doesn't know. He's just... He's like,
you know,
Harry.
Who did you mate off? Okay, you are now known. You are now known as Madoff.
Son, he's like a bottle in water. He just floats around.
It's a very good name, Madoff. It will go in history. That name will be a legacy to you, sir. People will remember that name.
Madoff.
Madoff rhymes with Adolf. You got to get around
that. Hey, wait a minute. Madoff was a liar and a thief. Madoff ruined a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Didn't he?
Yep.
Wow.
He was horrible.
Did his wife commit suicide? Because I know his son did. Did his wife commit suicide too?
I don't know about the wife.
No, she did. As I recall, I think she did. Yeah. She
did
was so ashamed of what her husband had done.
Wow.
But you know, she knew what was going on too. Those women. It's just like with those pastors. And with those politicians, those women know what's going on. Give me a break.
You may address me as
Rabbi
Shekels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking of another woman I think of who committed suicide because of the activities of her husband, was another German Jew, Fritz Haber, who invented, he did pioneering work in making nitrogen-based fertilizers that helped to extend fertilization and increased crop yield around the world. But simultaneously with that, he did some of the pioneering work in a poison gas in World War I with phosgene and chlorine. And his wife committed suicide because of activities on behalf of the Kaiser and the German Reich in World War I.
Mm.
He was a Jew. His name was Fritz Haber.
Well, Brian, now are you understanding that bleach? I thought of that the other night. I was just thinking of a couple of...
Call me Rabbi Schmeckel.
Yeah, right. I'll call you Beelzebub.
All right, Judas. I'm going to give you your name Judas, but go ahead.
I couldn't be Judas. Wouldn't do it.
You can betray me, Judas.
Wouldn't do well. There's not much there. But hey, look here again. Those women like that lifestyle, so they know what's going. Just like Elliot Spitzer?
He was the Attorney General of New York. Yeah, Attorney General.
Yeah, thank you. And he was like using state's money to lay whores.
Okay.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
Know. That's what he got removed over.
Exactly.
Well, what I'm saying,
at least
Brian,
I know my
state
taxes
were
going for something, but I'm not in New York, so it didn't have to give me any. It didn't bother me any. But I'm not surprised.
Well, it's one of the contiguous states, by the way. So there you go.
You know, they used
those
to have.
He even had a
lifestyle.
Russian escort. He had a Russian escort who claimed that Elliot Spitzer used a suitcase to smuggle her into his apartment. He paid her $5,000 a night.
Shit.
Her name was
Did he really?
Was Svetlana Travis Zakharova.
I'm trying to figure the you must have eidetic imagery, Sarge. But look here, I'm trying to figure out what size would a woman be? I guess she folded real well, which is interesting,
by the
way.
She's flexible. He had a big suitcase.
Yep. I get it. I get it.
That's funny.
Have you seen Putin's little hot little number on the side? She was a
oh,
yeah.
That
about her.
Woman
I didn't see her, but I heard.
She is literally like a rubber band.
I haven't seen her. Is that the redhead?
No, she's a blonde, man. She's a little hot little thing, and she can fold herself up into any shape. Have you seen her performances in gymnastics?
Oh, that's right. He was.
She's got to be one of the most flexible beings ever.
Wow.
Well, you know, women are gravitate toward hypergamy, so... I don't know. Calling a woman a whore because she tries to get the best bang for her buck. I don't know.
You are driving.
So in other words, she made the most of her assets, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you guys are terrible. You know, I call her an opportunist. Wait, we're going to be back with Mr. Solution, and we're going to be back with Sarge and the lovely my co-host, Melissa, in 2 minutes. I just got to get this one call. Don't leave. I'll be back in 2 minutes. And now...
Hey, but wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Melissa, get all the codes from this guy. He's inconsistent, and like Sarge said, he deserted his post. So...
I am Rabbi Schmeckel, sir.
Hello?
I'll be right back. I'll be right back. You know what we Jewish people call you black people?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Jews were people of color. You're an ignorant man.
I am not of color, sir.
Wretch. You're an ignorant wretch.
You ignorant wretch. You know what? Just for that, no more money for you.
Turn
right
all
back.
The information. Yeah, there you go. I love those Seinfeld episodes. Turn all the codes over to Melissa right now.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes. And here's
we don't trust
for your listening
you
pleasure.
All right.
For your listening pleasure. My God. We'll be right back.
Okay. This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. Hanukkah is a festival of light. Instead of one day of presents, we have 8 crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish. Just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke. Time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All 3 Stooges. It's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Oh, forget a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really wanna go, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Yes. We're all Jewish today. We love the Jews. Thank you. Thank you. We have to appreciate the Jews. They're nice people.
Uh-huh.
Oy. Mm-hmm. I dated a Jewish woman for 6 years. Oh, boy. All right.
Was she religious or secular?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I really appreciate the Three Stooges who were Jews because they taught me how to unscrew somebody's nose with a pipe wrench.
Hey, Sarge, while I have you on the line, look here. You haven't come to Miss Inez's show yet. And see, Brian he was good in his day, but he's fading. Anyway, her number.
You're gonna say that in my face, and I'm like,
her number is 845. Her number is 845-241-9985, and it's Let's Do It Radio. Let's Do It Radio. Hey, come
on
over there. It's a great show. It's a relationship show, Brian. She's talking about toxic relationships. So show up, Sarge. I thought you were going to show up last time.
It's on Blog Talk?
Yeah, and we have a female police officer. Not that that makes a lot of difference, but yes, it's on Blog Talk. You know what? Brian may want to chime in this too. Brian,
no,
I
do not.
I don't really know how to get in on the shows on YouTube. I mean, they're not as
well. You have
to
ask. Melissa because Melissa and Laverne listen to some great shows on LoopTube. That's a whole different thing.
Listen a minute. In other words, shows on Blog Talk are easier to access than those on YouTube. Now, I usually listen to YouTube, too, but it's after the show.
If you listen to Melissa, she's trying to tell you. She's trying to tell you. Go ahead, Melissa.
Everybody, most people that stream use StreamYard, Zoom, et cetera. And you can call in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but how? I mean, they have to give you a link. Right? It's not as easy as Blog Talk, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
Okay, Solutions, I just found the show and I bookmarked it, so I'll be checking it out.
Yeah, come on. It's a very good show. It's one of the better shows, and she's normally on about at least two hours, if not three. And if the show is good, she'll go overtime. Now, Joe is over there. I found old Joe.
Oh, you know Joe, right?
Yeah,
I know Joe real well. He's me and him have had sparring many times.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, me and him have sparred many times. We generally agree.
Sparred. Yeah. But what happened? Did you run him off? See, Brian runs everybody off.
No, that was me.
I can't name all the people that he runs away.
I'll admit it. Mr. Solution, it was me.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. It was me.
You ran Joe off? Shame on you.
Yeah, Joe and I hate each other.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What's the genesis?
I don't know. He cried one day.
What happened?
In a very rude. Oh, here we go. I'll condense it to make it really... excuse me. Anybody that knows, you know, that I've been coming to the show for a while, and I have had two grandchildren born during this time, right? And I've always did my best, right? The kids live here. And he was complaining and made some disparaging, rude remarks about my grandchildren.
Really?
So Melissa went a little bit crazy. And I think I probably threatened to cut a bitch.
Wait a minute. Cut Joe?
Well, I wouldn't have, but I was very, very angry at him.
Okay.
And Joe, Brian didn't do anything. He didn't cause that.
Oh, damn, Melissa.
That's
a spoiler alert. You should have allowed me. It's okay to blame Brian. He's a whipping post. It's okay to blame him for anything.
Something to the effect of, can't you shut these fucking kids up?
Ooh. Yeah.
So I was like, what? But, you know.
Yeah, that
there
sounds
was
a little bit
like Brian.
Yeah,
said,
I know he's pretty assertive, but I'm a little surprised to hear him say that he would say something like that.
Well,
they used to do a lot of he and Brian, because he was called F him Joe or something.
Joe.
So
F
he and
Joe.
Brian used to engage in that. It was kind of weird interaction that, but anyway, he left the show because of that?
Pretty much. He's,
okay.
I think so. Maybe he'll show his ignorant ass around again. I don't know.
Well, he's very well behaved on this show people go through a metamorphosis. Some people just go crazy. I think when you have this anonymity, basically, on a platform.
Yes, exactly.
On a platform like this. And I remember Debbie Daly, she and I used to say it's better to have crazies here than out in the street, you know, as a comforting statement and a truth statement.
But I just wanted to clarify that Brian did not cause that.
I don't appreciate that. I think Brian, I'm going to go ahead and believe that Brian was the problem. I can't help it. Excuse me.
No, Brian didn't cause that.
Yeah.
No.
Well.
It was me.
I'm going to blame him anyway. I don't care.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to blame
him
anyway.
He's a convenient whipping boy.
Yeah, he has broad shoulders, and he does so much stuff in his life that he hasn't gotten blamed for. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah. Plus, he's so charmingly self-deprecating. It's kind of hard just not to just take a shot every now and then.
Oh, absolutely. He loves it. He wouldn't look. Brian wouldn't have it any other way. If you try to treat Brian nicely. Hates you. He just absolutely hates you.
So are we indulging his spirit of masochism, do you think? Is this something
if you roll that newspaper up and give him a swift whack on the nose, he loves you.
So are we doing something toxic or beneficial to Brian when we beat him up about the head and shoulders like that.
Trust me, with his personality, it's infinitely beneficial. Infinitely.
All right. Well, I'm gonna keep on benefiting him. I'm gonna keep on benefiting the dumb asshole.
Let me say this, Sarge. You know, I talk to a lot of these young fellows, and they like to try and identify racially, which is kind of stupid because. The people that they are trying to identify with don't identify with them. But when I go back on the show, now this is another show, and it's really good. In fact, it comes on today, and I'll just give you this one. You might like this. It's now what I'm going to do. It's called Let's Keep It Real, I believe.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
And it's 5-6. Wait a minute. It's 845-277-9211, and the guy's name is Jahan or Jason, something like that. Keeping It Real with Jahan.
Mm-hmm.
Now those are some good guys. They even have prisoners come on their show, and I don't talk on that show because I don't understand prisoners per se. So. I just listen to that. But I am going to tell him, we go around and around. Now, I give them books to read, but I'm also going to tell them, look, get your ass out there and do patrols in your community. Get your two-way radio, coordinate it with the police. They say drug dealers and stuff. I don't even know where they live, but wherever they live, I've heard several of them say they have problems with drug dealers. Now, this is my solution, and you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Either you continue to tolerate it and just bitch about it, you move your ass, you relocate, or you fight. You take a stand. And the way you take a stand is, you know, roaches and vermin don't like the light. You shine the spotlight on them, and they scurry. So clean up your neighborhood. Get you some of those little handheld dusters and clean up the paper. Don't even wait on the street sweeper. Keep your neighborhood clean. That sends a signal. Get your ass out there and police the area. And you can put women out there too. I don't play this game protecting women. Women don't need protection. They fought for equal rights. They need equal accountability. But anyway, get out there, coordinate it with the police. You know, you could take 10 people to see a city councilman or whoever your local authorities are and let them know what you're doing, coordinate it with the police, and, you know, clean up your neighborhood. Now, there's more strategy to it than that, but, you know, they could have patrols in their neighborhood to run those damn drug dealers someplace else. What do you think about a plan like that working? Because I like to give workable solutions, not just talk about stuff forever and a day.
I agree.
Well, go ahead, Melissa, go ahead.
I agree with that. I watch.
Yeah,
you know,
they
so
never
they
talk about that. You know, one of the things I can tell you, I never hear that. If you like your neighborhood, and see, I tell them about earning enough money. If you earn enough money, you can leave. You know that 60 hours minimum per week, pay off all your debts. That's empowering. Money is not everything, but when I hear someone say that, it's usually said in ignorance. It's not everything, but when I hear someone say that, I'm going to demand that they tell me, well, what it is. What is it? If it's not everything, tell me what the hell it is. We don't define things by what they're not. We define things by what they are. So get out there, patrol your neighborhood, get your two-way walkie-talkies, keep your neighborhood clean, throw a can or two of paint on a house, paint it. If it's run down or whatever, and just send a signal to the vermin that you aren't going to accept them moving in. What do you think about that, Sarge? Thanks, Melissa.
You are clearly an exponent of the broken windows theory of policing and community accountability, and I think that theory of policing, which the leftists are so quick to try to destroy, denigrate, downgrade, and ridicule even, is one of the most important foundations for the maintenance of public order that has ever been created. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, but like I was saying, it coordinated with the police, let them know, and because you have to do that. And, you know, I said to these guys, and this kind of stumped them, I'm going to go back into the lion's den because they seem to be younger guys. Some of them are older. But I enjoy jousting with them constructively. And I said to him, I've lived in neighborhoods where the most exciting thing was tree trimming. I mean, tree trimming.
Hold on, guys. Look, I got to go take off because I got to take my granddaughter to a doctor's appointment, so I got to take off. But, look, it's been a joy and a pleasure talking to you. And, Brian, when are you going to be back on again?
I will be back on Tuesday.
That's a joke.
Tuesday, I have a dental appointment Monday to get my pearly whites whiter. So I will be on Tuesday.
Well, we'll see about that. Well, look, Mr. Lucia is always a slice of Melissa. You know I love you, and it's going to be an unrequited love. Nonetheless, I intend to profess it.
It's okay.
So I have. So I'll be seeing you guys in a while then.
All right. Good. Sorry.
Have
a wonderful day. God bless you, and I'll see you on some of those shows.
I'll be. When is a Let's Do It radio broadcast usually?
Let's do it. Oh, they come on Tuesday and Thursday. But
what time?
Have to get the time. If you just type it in the Blog Talk, they'll give you the time.
All right, I will.
But it's a great show, very stable show. It's run really well.
All right. Till then.
And you're not paying me, by the way.
Talk to you guys again soon.
All right, sorry.
Okay.
Be careful.
Have a good one.
Okay, that ends the show there. Mr. Solution, be safe.
Brian, I want to ask you, I want to get your opinion on what I suggested to clean up one's neighborhood.
What's that, kiddo? What's that?
You had your thumb up. Okay. You didn't hear what I said, but one should get maybe two walkie-talkies. And they should have shifts patrolling their neighborhood, sometimes just watching. And maybe a camera, you know, take a few pictures.
They already do. It's called Neighborhood Watch.
Oh, no. Well, yes, I hear that. But this is a little bit more active than Neighborhood Watch to meet the demand of what they are complaining about. Remember, we're talking about this over the air, and we're trying to come up with viable solutions because they talk about living in areas where the drug runners, what do you call it, the drug dealers kind of take over their neighborhood, and they are bemoaning that reality. And I say to them, you can either move, you can stay and tolerate it, or you can take action.
Well, you know,
and run
them
out of your neighborhood. They'll leave if enough pressure. Go ahead.
I'm halfway right with you because now that everybody has cameras for their phone, I think they should take a picture of the drug dealers and put it on TikTok, and I'm one of these people that they hide in the shadows. That it's time to put the light. It's time to put the light on the shadow. And since everybody's going TikTok and going viral, let the drug dealers go viral. See, somebody knows them and pick them up. You could be a criminal, what do you call it? You could be a neighborhood watcher, but you can also be proactive in cleaning up your neighborhood that way.
Right. And see, the way they are describing it, Brian, these people are a blight on the neighborhood. They cause havoc. They're like a virus. They are literally human viruses.
I agree.
And so they want to talk about how to clean it up. Now, if you don't have the money to leave and you don't want to tolerate it, the only thing left to do is to push back.
Yes. I say capitalize on it. Use it as an opportunity. Change your name. Have a fake name or whatever. Go viral. Same where the Neighborhood Watcher become an organization, become something that's very positive, just like a hashtag me too is hashtag no drugs in my neighborhood. It's kind of bullshit, you know what I'm saying? You can get
remember I said also clean up. I don't give a damn if you live in an apartment. Clean up. Get you one of these little what are they called? They're portable dust pans.
The leaf blower.
You know, with
the leaf blower.
What?
Like a leaf blower.
Well, I was speaking of the one. It's manual. It's manual,
yeah.
Melissa. It makes cleaning up paper or whatever really easy because you have the little broom. Huh?
Oh, I have this like blower, and I clean up the dirt off my steps and leaves and you know whatever.
Yeah, the blower is good, but picture this: it's a little handheld device. It's like a. Like a dustpan with a handle, with the vertical handle, and then you have a little broom. So the dustpan, there's a little container at the end of it, and you just sweep paper. You know, it's very sanitary.
I need
that.
I need one.
Yeah. And then when you're finished with it, you can hose it out. You know, if you have any sticky stuff, whatever, any contamination on it. Home Depot. I think a lot of the hardware stores will carry them. Whoever made that thing, made a lot of money. Whoever invented that damn, and the same is true with the weed whacker. I bought one of those a while back, and. Now, this is getting into, it's not really getting off the subject because all of this deals with stuff that keeps your neighborhood clean. And some people prefer to do their own yard. They don't hire a yard person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I
that little handheld dustpan.
Year,
I'm
get
sorry,
somebody
go ahead.
To come and really, I do. I get somebody here like once or twice a year for a big cleanup, like in
yeah.
the spring, and they'll get rid of all, you know, all the mess or branches and. But yeah.
Exactly. I think it's a great idea, Solution. Mm-hmm. But I gotta go. I gotta go to a premiere tonight, opening night.
Okay, mm-hmm. Brian, get the hell there. Get on, man.
Aren't you? I am so excited for this play that I'm going to for opening night. I'm really excited about it.
What's the name of it? Where is it, Brian? What's the name of it?
2:22. I guess it's 2 hours and 22 minutes. Things will happen at a particular time.
What city is it in? I'll fly in, but I don't want to see you.
Oh, my God.
You bastard.
Serious, I'm not seeing you. No, I would take you to dinner, Brian. But I wouldn't go with you.
You're not getting anything from me, mister. Don't expect any happy ending with me because you can't serve me dinner.
Oh, there you go with that filth. Stop that.
Good night, everybody. Bye, Chuckles.
All right, Brian. Have a good one. Have a good one, Melissa.
Thank you. Safe.
Bye. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Be safe, Bernie. This is okay, bye, Melissa, and bye, Mrs. Solution. Thanks for coming by. See you guys Tuesday. Bye, everybody.